Good morning, and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
All right. Hey, everybody. Phone number 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
Word to mother.
Let's see. What are we doing today? Well, we're going to have that listener come in and smoke a bowl of Tad's pubes. So he can get into the... He can get into the Playboy Mansion. It's something I wanted to do back when we were doing the Man Show. I always thought it was a simple, straightforward, disgusting prank that you had to smoke a nice bowl of Tad's pubes. Tad has informed us that he doesn't have pubes.
Which is yesterday. Really more disgusting, ironically.
Yeah, I never really thought about that, but I would imagine... Well, I guess, you know, I'm trying to think what the tells are. Like, ironically, guys with... goatees probably would be less apt to have pubes. Yeah. More facial hair, more hipster facial hair probably equals less pubes. Perhaps it's the same hair, just transferred. I don't know. I don't ask. I'm guessing, like, if you see things like a hat that's worn sideways or a barbell through the tongue, guys that are into, X Games, for instance, there's probably a crowd where it's 90% of the guys are pretty shorn pretty close down there. I never really thought about it. It's a generational thing.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Asian man?
I was wondering where the flute was going.
Yeah, I realized maybe this is just it. Maybe this is just Pop's Corolla. My friends, I imagine, would, keep themselves... sort of treat it like the military. There's no real rules other than you can't look sloppy down there. I don't want to see anything hanging out beside the band of your underwear legs. You know what I mean? Like, just sort of keep it nice, keep it contained. Like Steinbrenner would do with the Yankees or something like that. So Steinbrenner didn't like the facial hair.
Yeah.
It just don't start looking like a hippie down there, but Tad may be clean. I don't know if we can harvest any pubes from Tad. We're going to work on it. So,
if not, let's just shave his head then.
We'll figure it out. No.
Ass?
Yes. Yes. Or we'll go to someone else's pubes.
I like the talk in the office this morning, which was, in all seriousness. Does anybody have the number of the pube smoker? We want to make sure he shows up on time.
We get paid.
I had a semi-racist thought. You guys, be honest with me. Tell me if this you think this is racist or you think same thing. I thought. Well, as I was, because it was 5 a.m. and I was in my kitchen. I thought, well, maybe Big Tad doesn't have the pubes to go through with this. I thought we'll have to get someone else's pubes. And I thought we'll get your on. Then I thought, yeah, that's it. Black guy's pubes, worse even. Then I thought, wait a minute, why is that worse? Then I thought, that's a racist thought. And then I thought, no, they're tighter and curlier. It'll be better. Tad, how you doing in the pube department, my friend?
Oh, I got some.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I looked in the mirror yesterday and I found them.
Smart.
They're good. Good to go.
Okay, because I think those things will go up like that Branch Davidian house over there in Waco. I mean, those... I imagine pubes. I've never done this before. I conceived this. I pictured it in my mind's eye. And those things are going to go up fast, so we're going to need a lot of them. Anyway, also, Charger Sean Merriman is going to call in. He's got a little bet to settle with our own Dave Damashek. We'll explain. NASCAR driver Kurt Busch, Mr. Brightside. Ooh, Dave's jerk list. Nice. And we got a dominatrix coming in here, Mistress Melissa. I'm not sure if I've met her before, but I have met other dominatrixes, and it's always a good time. So we'll get to that. Quickly, I do want to bring this up. I was watching CNN this morning. They did one of these things to decide who are smarter, men or women. Did an IQ test. Some guy out of Canada did it. I don't know what he did. I think he took SAT scores, and he took thousands of SAT scores, and it never works out. No one ever agrees on it, but of course... He came up with guys were a couple percentage points smarter.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And it makes sense to me. I believe it. I don't, first off, that's not that doesn't mean that much. Doesn't mean you're happier. Doesn't mean you're richer. Doesn't mean your kids love you anymore. Probably hurts in some of those departments. Maybe it works financially. I'm not sure how it works in terms of, socially. But it makes sense that women were here to nurture and thus less thinking about, building bridges and more thinking about taking care of the kids. I mean, my wife, not the world's smartest woman. Being honest with you.
She seems very intelligent to me. And also she had sort of a high powered job.
Yeah.
Before you met.
Not stupid. Yeah. Yeah, I guess okay. Not a dumb woman, but
a ringing endorsement.
Not her thing, the thinking stuff so much, you know. Great with the kids, though. Fantastic with the kids. As a matter of fact, that's what you want. You don't want someone intellectualizing things. You want them reacting.
Right.
They hear that cry. You don't want to think of ways to stifle the cry. You want them to get up and go see the kid. You know, if you're up in your head, it doesn't make. You know, if you think about it, I don't want a super genius for a nursery school teacher. I want a woman who loves kids, or a guy who loves kids. I want that. I want that in a lot of things.
More simple, yes.
Nurturing.
Yeah, but there's other jobs that work that way too. You know, if you think about it, half the jobs are probably more better off with guys that aren't great thinkers. I wasn't the world's greatest carpenter because I would get bored immediately when I got to the job site. I wanted to talk. I wanted to do stuff. I wanted to challenge myself. Not the smartest guy in the world, smarter than most of the carpenters I worked with. There are other guys I worked with, they just worked like mules. That's all they did. Tell them to stack the drywall, they stacked the drywall. Didn't try to entertain themselves along the way so they wouldn't go insane, but evidently, according to this test, meant a couple IQ points. But then we've talked about it before. How do you measure intelligence? I always think of convenient ways to measure intelligence that make me seem smarter.
Knowledge of cars.
How nappy is your hair? That's knowledge of cars. No, I think there's a couple things that I would rather, as I think about my kids, if you said, look, would you rather them have a 10 IQ points higher, or would you rather do this? I think a very simple way to do it is, can you achieve what you want to achieve? And that had nothing to do with money, although oftentimes does. But if there's somebody at work you're attracted to and you'd like to catch their eye and you'd like to end up going out to lunch with them, or there's a job you want, or there's a car you want, or there's a profession you want, maybe you want to work, maybe you love animals, and every free second you find yourself donating your time down at the, the kennel, down at the whatever, the rescue center. Is there a way to do that full time and make your living out of it? What is it that you want? Do you want to go to Europe? Do you want to backpack through Europe? What do you want, and can you get it? And can you get people to think about you the way you want them to? You want people to respect you. You want people to like you. You want people to be attracted to you. You want to be invited to the party. The world is just one big you want. You don't want the cops to pull you over, pull you out of the car, and beat the F out of you. You don't want to get herpes. You don't want to get AIDS. You do want to get a raise. You do want that hot chick in the cubicle down the thing to go out to lunch with you. You do want, you don't want. I mean, if you really think about it, it's just, I don't know if it's split down the middle, but it's one big pile. Here's what I do want. Here's what I don't want. Are you able to achieve the do wants and not achieve the don't wants? Look, if you have sex 1,000 times with 1,000 strangers and you don't wear a condom, somebody could argue that's the ultimate stupid. I don't care how high your IQ is. You're putting yourself at risk for AIDS and God knows what else. How could you be smart and do that? Well, you could. You could get great SAT scores and then go out and get loaded every night and go be compulsive and go bring home a new strange person and risk death or venereal disease. So I guess my question is to all you folks that are listening out there, what's your do want and don't want department, and how you doing in both those things?
Yeah, but on the other hand, though, then there's there's old Dallas Mavericks head coach Quinn Buckner. I remember hearing him say this when he was about to get fired. He said, something to the effect that you must make sure to control your mind and not let your mind control you. I found that fascinating, as though you're sick, although schizophrenic, your mind can turn on you and drive you crazy, and you live in your head, and it keeps you from doing stuff. And you could be smart and still have that happen, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what happened with Tad and his belly. I mean, not his belly turned on him. Oh, wait a minute. Speaking of smart, I just pressed line one. It is National Coming Out Day today. I don't know if you're aware of that, but...
Don't eyeball me.
It is.
You will be in a skirt later.
It is National Coming Out Day. That is true. And we only have one known gay here. That's pre-op, board op, Bill. Bill...
Good morning.
Your father's on the phone?
Hello, Dad.
Yes, he is. Hi, Bill.
Hey, is this the guy who owns the Delahays?
Yes, it is. I only have one father, so yeah.
Those are several million-dollar cars. How many of those do you have, Mr. Mahoney?
Well, I guess this is about Bill, isn't it?
Well, it is. But
about me.
Wow, these rich guys are uptight.
Wow.
Come on, how many of those Delahays do you have?
I got a couple.
See, that's a rich guy move right there.
Now, lost count.
The real cool rich guy move is when you actually do just have two of your multi-million-dollar cars, but the way you say it, it sounds like you have 18 or 20. So, Mr. Mahoney?
Yes?
Since it is National Coming Out Day, I know you already know Bill is gay, but we thought he'd just come out again. Bill?
Yeah, Dan?
Yes?
I just wanted to tell you that I am gay-er.
Thanks, Mr. Mahoney.
Well, that's not news, Bill. And Bill, yep. You're our son. You're our son, and it's your life, and you've made your call, and that's sort of the beginning and the middle and all of it. Well, good choice.
You don't want to say the end. Thanks, Mr. Mahoney. I appreciate it.
Hey, you got a wonderful young man. You ought to give him more airtime.
Yeah, we're working on it.
Then he'll show you a Delahay.
Yeah. Hey, see, Adam, see how much my father loves me?
Yes. All right, we'll get him some more airtime. Boy, he gives you a little, takes a little back, doesn't he?
Yep.
Rich guys. Thanks, Pops.
I think it'd be
Thanks
great
for not achieving anything. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
Maybe Bruska's ear would like to come out.
Is it even gayer?
All right. We just wanted to waste 2 minutes of your time. I thought it'd be funny if Bill... called his dad and explained that he was gayer on National Coming Out Day. Nice job, Bill. We'll take a quick break. NASCAR champ Kurt Busch after this.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM.
Here he comes.
NASCAR's Kurt Busch on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah. Kurt Busch, I guess we spoke to Kurt in Vegas when he was there. Actually, we saw Kurt in Vegas, I do believe, when we did the show from Vegas. Kurt?
How's it going, man?
Good to speak to you again.
Things are all right. How are things?
Good. Where are you calling from?
I am actually in a cabin in North Carolina, getting ready for a race here close to the Charlotte area this weekend.
Whose cabin? Is it your cabin?
A buddy of mine's, actually. We're supposed to go hunt some deer later today, so I hope we don't pull any type of vice president-type stuff.
I don't think I've ever been hunting. I always dismiss it, like, I don't want to do that. But then I realize, you could do worse.
Like that would appeal to you.
Yeah, I'm into that. I'd like to go with you next time. What do you hunt for beside deer?
There's deer. I was actually on a quail hunt the other day. That's pretty cool. They just jump out right in front of you, and you hope you don't shoot your buddy. That's how the president level there. But
yeah.
It's fun to get out and just kind of shoot things every now and then.
You know, I agree. That'd be a nice bumper sticker. You should put a bumper sticker on your NASCAR. You know, no fat chicks, or it's nice to go out and shoot stuff every once in a while.
I think it would go off pretty good.
What would a bumper sticker, now I know it maybe varies from place to place depending on how you're doing in the series, but if we wanted to put a sticker on the side of your car, you know, 3-inch by 3-inch round sticker, what would that cost? Do you have any idea?
I think we can try to figure this out. I think they say it's $10,000 per square inch. So if we do 3 by 3, that's 9 square inches. So,
so there's 90 grand.
Yeah, damn near 100K.
And that's for the... So if I put like a nicotine patch on the side of your car, it just cost me 10 grand for the season?
Yeah, plus it's going to slow the car down a little bit with drag.
That's true. Yeah, it starts flapping. Yeah, if it doesn't stay on my shoulder, it's not going to stay on your fender. But that is interesting. It would be fun just to see if we could get the money to put a nicotine patch on the side of a NASCAR for an entire season. And obviously, if you finish first one year, well, then the real estate prices go up on the side of your car, right?
Oh, all heck breaks loose with different types of endorsements and people wanting to be in that spot. So, yeah, you could raise it up a little bit, but... It always changes around. I'm pretty sure a nicotine patch wouldn't pass tech, though. We'll have to work with something else.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, when they put the schematic thing on top of it, it wouldn't pass it. Now, you run a Miller Lite, right?
Yeah, that's the primary sponsor for us. They're a good group of people.
And
beer every now and then.
Yeah, they make a good product. I suggest you put down a few when you go hunting later today.
Yeah, we'll have to do it after we're done with the ammo around.
Well, I know you're saying that because we're on the radio. They say, like, you shouldn't be boozing when you're out on the lake. You shouldn't be boozing when you're out in the field hunting. That is prime boozing time.
Day four.
Yeah, thank you, good buddy. I'm saying, if I can't crack a few cold ones fishing, forget about it. Not going. You know what I mean? As a matter of fact, I don't think people would fish if you couldn't drink when you were fishing.
That's exactly right. I mean, fishing is a reason to drink. Sounds good.
I think any excuse, you know, I know we're hopping all over the place, Kurt Busch, but I like catching a buzz in the morning, but it's not acceptable unless you're either at the airport or on the lake. We'd actually need a third place. Well, I guess maybe hunting in a duck blind or something. Golfing is good, too. There's a nice buzz you catch before noon. It's just frowned on by society, so you don't get to do it that often. But when you do, it is a great sensation. All right, so when is the race, Kurt? Is that, let's see, Lowe's Speedway, North Carolina. That's coming up when, this Saturday?
Yeah, we've got a Saturday night race. It's... the fifth or sixth race in our playoff series. They just all get grouped together as you go here. But it's the hometown for everybody. All the race shops are in the area. All the fans pour in. And it's a packed event, just like every other NASCAR deal.
How many people will be there, do you know?
I would say there's probably going to be about 200,000, and they'll have their matinee buzzes going on, that's for sure.
So you guys will now, when I'm trying to think... Well, I don't know that much about NASCAR racing. How do you qualify, and how does that work? Do you qualify on Friday?
Yeah, usually we qualify a couple days before the race, and then they give us a practice day in between. Mm-hmm. So on Friday, we'll qualify. We qualify at night so that the speeds are a little bit higher, because you get at nighttime, the track is cooler, and you get more grip.
Mm-hmm.
So then go for speed.
Mm-hmm. And then you'll race how many miles on Saturday?
This one's 500 miles. So that's, at this track, 334 laps. We go around in circles, and it's just the craziest thing you've ever seen.
But it's a good time to be in NASCAR, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Just with the sponsor dollars, the TV packages. I mean, we've got different networks fighting over who's going to carry our races live. And it's just it's a great time to be able to race these cars and to be on top of my game with a great sponsor like Miller and Gillette.
Yeah.
Helping us out.
Well, you hear about these other sports, the guys who played football for, you know, 15, 20 grand a year and then had to have a job during the off season, same with baseball, but the same holds true to with NASCAR, any kind of racing. These guys, especially NASCAR, I mean, they would have to drag, you know, trailer their own cars to the thing. Everyone fighting for sponsorship dollars that were sort of non-existent, dangerous. It was tough back in the day.
Oh, it definitely has evolved. You know, the grandfathers of our sport have created a nice foundation for us to continue on with the great action that fans want to see with our sport, and as well as the door that's been opened for sponsors. Like, you know, just everybody has a chance to be involved in NASCAR because of the way that the drivers are approachable and that there's the quantity of teams.
And is there, and they all speak English, not the queens per se, but they speak English, that's for sure. You know, you get these Formula One guys out there named Jacques and stuff. No one knows what the hell they're saying, and they're from all over the place. And unless you're a supermodel, forget about it. Let me ask you this, Kurt. You have Miller Lite as your sponsor, one of your sponsors. Are there any hard liquor sponsors? I know in some of the endurance races they have, I think, Crown Royal is a sponsor. Is there any hard booze sponsors on any of the cars?
They do. They just opened that category up a few years ago.
Oh, thank Christ.
Just with different positionings. We actually have no cigarette-sponsored cars anymore. Our series used to be sponsored by Winston.
Yeah, Winston Cup.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That fairy, Jimmy Spencer, has a Zima car, right?
No. Take him out.
It's his arch rival. Jimmy Spencer socked him once after a race.
Oh, really? Well, look,
so?
I don't want to live in a world where beer gets its ass kicked by Zima. So you just take him out. Just rub him.
Got it.
So,
right through him.
Yeah, because I was thinking, you know, NASCAR sort of, you're talking about the grandfathers of the sport, they're moonshiners. So it just seems you know, whiskey and bathtub gin and moonshine really ought to be the sponsors of NASCAR if you do the math. It is ironic that something that began, has its origins in moonshine and booze running from, you know, back in Prohibition, now has, you know, Cheerios as the sponsorship.
Now somebody has a Viagra car, even. Is that still out on the road, Kurt?
He actually, he went Lithia a few years ago. I don't have that car anymore, but yeah.
That's for the best.
What's the gayest sponsor?
It is amazing how our sport started with the Backroads and the Carolinas and up in Virginia, trying to run this white lightning is what they called the shine back then.
Ah.
And now, question of can cars be sponsored by hard liquor companies? So it really is.
Yeah, bring it up next meeting. And I would say, you know, next time people say, well, nothing good came of Prohibition, it's how the mob got a foothold in America, it's how organized crime got, I'd say, well, what about NASCAR, people? Thank you. And then I would bow and I would leave, even if it was in my house. Then I would sheepishly come back in 10 minutes later and ask everyone else to leave. So, Kurt, we'll be watching this weekend, this Saturday, Lowe's Motor Speedway, North Carolina. It, I guess the race is, well, it's an evening race. It'll be 4 o'clock out here for us, but I guess it'll be 7 or so for you, right? Is it any better? You like running under the lights versus during the day? I guess it's a little bit cooler, huh?
Yeah, it's always nice at night. I mean, that's how all of us grew up racing, was Saturday night racing, and the fans get all day to enjoy and to kick back a couple brewskis and then watch the show at the end of the day.
Well, good luck to you this weekend. Like I said, we'll be watching.
You got it. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks. Kurt Busch, everybody. Sorry there, Dave. Dave, you wearing new cologne or what? He got some extra deodorant on? Dave
no,
went
why?
Past me. I got a whiff of you. It smells, really? Smells like something.
Is it nice?
It's not bad.
Thanks, you.
It's haunting. We'll take ourselves a break. We have, yes. Well, I'm getting to it. We have our guy who's coming in smoking the pubes. There's a little controversy about the harvesting of Tad's pubes. He said yesterday he was shaving. It was going to be tough to get the pubes. Then he said a minute ago he's going to need to go into the bathroom to get the pubes.
He needs something to catch the pubes with, like a plate.
That's for Bruska to do.
Somebody suggested putting a plate under him.
Yeah.
He's brought a razor. All I'm saying is we may need a secondary pube host.
Talk about haunting.
Now, I could do it, but it's beneath me. I'm trying to think who could do it. Perhaps Jerron could do it. I'm not sure if the 20-something guys.
Oh, Jerron off the hizzle.
Bill?
I got plenty.
Oh.
Yeah.
They're coming. The hairs over his wanger coming out today.
Actually, Bill carries a rat tail just over his own rat tail, over his pigtail.
It is coming out day.
Yes. Well, so could we use some of your pubes board up, Bill?
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Adam, just to let you
yes.
know.
Yes.
I got some pubes around the huevos, mm-hmm. and right in between the legs and everything. It's really hairy, so I got you. I got some good stuff for you.
So you got some, like, let's say, back sack stuff going on.
This is damn exciting stuff.
You know, got some top edge. It's good to go. He will have enough to smoke.
Okay, I just, you know, I don't want to get caught without pubes. That's happened to me a few times.
I hear you, brother.
You ever do that? You go camping. Yo, you set up the tent, you get the fire going, you get the Coleman stove, and then it's, who's got the pubes? I told you to bring the pubes. I don't know. What do you mean? Me? You said you're going by the pube store. I did not. I said you were there. And then, you know, fist fight breaks out by the campfire like Red Dawn. You're not the quarterback. You're not the pube quarterback anymore. All right.
Just dynamite.
We'll take a quick break. T.
Yes.
What's coming up in the news?
Well, there's an update on the woman who beat her boyfriend with her 4-month-old baby. She has an excuse, and you will not believe what it is. Also, Mel Gibson going to be talking to GMA tomorrow, but I have some clips today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm interested in hearing those. Also, Sean Merriman, the great outside linebacker. The San Diego Superchargers going to be calling in, too. He's got a little score to settle with our own Dave Damashek. We'll do all that after this.
Word up, peeps. Today's show is going to be da bomb. Someone's going to try and get into the Playboy Mansion by smoking a bong load of Big Dad's pubes. Dave's finally going to wear that dress to pay off his bet to San Diego Charger Sean Merriman. Hey, Jack's no fancy lad, but even I got to scope this out. Also a traffic expert, a celebrity matchmaker, a dominatrix, and a sex slave. This show's got it all. Late.
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, forget about me. Here's Teresa Strasser in the news.
North Korea threatened yesterday that increased U.S. pressure over the regime's reported nuclear test could be considered an act of war. The foreign ministry in North Korea issued a statement yesterday. Here is a quote. If the U.S. keeps pestering us and increases pressure, we will regard it as a declaration of war and will take a series of physical corresponding measures. No telling what those physical measures could be. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice saying that the United States would not attack North Korea.
You know what we need to do? We need to do like they do in any good movie or TV show. We need to somehow get the people that are going at us, namely Al-Qaeda, the terrorists, Muslims, the radical Muslims and that, and get them fixated on Korea somehow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, look, you guys like blowing up stuff, right? Right? And you like destruction, right? Right? Here's some folks that are just begging for it. And then we do something. We create some sort of international incident or something. All we got to do is get some guy, put him up in Korean makeup, have him go over there and write a book called I Wipe My Ass with the Quran, and it's on. Now they all shift over there. All the terrorist cells, they all pull up stakes and they head to Korea. They all just head to Korea.
If someone did that, could they win a trip to the Playboy Mansion?
I'd let them go with us, yes. If all the terrorists within the sound of my voice would focus on Korea, it wouldn't work over there. And the reason it wouldn't work over there is I believe that they have a society and a government that would not stand for anything like that. I think they do a lot of profiling over there.
Well, there was an ugly war domestically, and that is between a 27-year-old woman from Pennsylvania and her boyfriend. Now, yesterday, we reported a story about a fight between this couple. The woman swung her newborn baby, 4 months old, at her boyfriend, who's 20 years old, during a fight. Now, she's coming out to say it was an accident. She did not mean to use her baby as a weapon. According to the mom,
I use sex as a weapon with my wife.
How does that work?
Well, I could show you during the next break, but I'm going to start using the twins. I'm going to connect them with a lamp cord, and we use them like nunchucks. Pow!
Well, Chitoria, the mother, says she had been drinking.
Chitoria.
And her and her boyfriend, D'Angelo, started arguing.
So poor. And they are so black.
And she just, quote, snapped, grabbing whatever she could and throwing it at D'Angelo. And one of those things, unfortunately, was baby Jerron.
Well, she's a passionate woman.
Yes, I swear.
Baby
Jerron. Kid's name is Jerron. It's spelled differently, but it is pronounced the same.
Well, like I was saying yesterday, how empty does your room need to be when you run out of stuff to beat your husband with and start using your own kid?
Well, at that also, point, how drunk?
Are you? How drunk do you have to be? Are you not wearing flip-flops? Is there nothing you can throw at your husband? I would throw fillings before I threw my kid. I would shoot a snot rocket before I did the kid. But then it's kind of interesting. If you're using your kid as a weapon later on, when it comes time to beat your kid with a switch or a hairbrush, what do? Tell him to punch himself?
It's confusing.
That's what I'm going to do with my kids when I discipline them. I don't believe in hitting kids, but I do believe in kids getting hit. So it's interesting. I don't believe in hitting them, and I don't want to be the kind of dad who beats his own kids. On the other hand, there is a time when the kids deserve a spanking. I'm going to have my kids punch themselves.
Huh.
That way I don't get into trouble. Kid's got a black eye. What happened? School teacher wants to know. Hit myself. Daddy made me do it, but they'll discipline themselves.
Well, actor Mel Gibson is hitting himself.
Punch yourself, Sonny. You've been a bad boy.
I was so excited about that segue. Actor Mel Gibson is hitting himself, I'll say again, over his recent DUI arrest and subsequent anti-Semitic rant. He's going on Good Morning America with Diane Sawyer in a two-parter Thursday and Friday. Here's a preview of the self-loathing apologies that we can look forward to from Mel.
It was just the stupid ramblings of a drunkard. And what I need to do to heal myself and to be assuring and allay the fears of others and to heal them if they had any heart wounds from something I may have said. So this is the last thing I want to be is that kind of monster.
I got hammered.
Monster?
Well,
he's out of control. He's an animal.
Old habits die hard, I guess.
Come on, play the one I want to hear.
You know it's right there.
Play it.
I like the idea that you can be yourself on the road.
There we go.
Look, he doesn't care. Obviously, he can't stand the fact that people can't stand him. So he's saying this. I just love the idea that people scream out against whoever and then call themselves monsters.
Well, the good news is that he has stayed sober for over 2 months.
Sure.
This is what he tells Diane Sawyer. But it is weird because when you read transcripts of the things that he said on the side of the road when he was boozy, and then you hear him in this clip, it does sound like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Jim Hader.
I think a better punishment wouldn't be for him to never be allowed to drink again, but that he has to be drunk every day for the rest of his life on Manischewitz wine.
That would be the worst booze
in the world.
Oh, well, we have constitutional amendments against cruel and unusual punishment, and Manischewitz would constitute that.
What were you Jews thinking? I gotta be honest, I'm on board with you guys most of the time, but that Manischewitz is prune juice with a shot of rubbing alcohol.
We're good at some things like physics and coming up with cures for disease, but winemaking isn't our strong suit.
Yeah, it's like someone stomped those grapes with their shoes on.
Hugh Hefner is opening up a Playboy club like the Playboy clubs of old.
Mm.
And here he is discussing it.
The clubs were hugely popular for a quarter of a century. When they closed in the mid-80s, I really felt it was the end of an era. The fact that now, almost a quarter of a century later, that the clubs would be back at a time when I'm celebrating my 80th birthday is unbelievable.
What the hell was that phone for?
That was weird. I don't know. I don't think that's from the clip. Hefner also taking the opportunity to dispel some recent rumors about his sex life.
But they suggested that I like to play dominoes instead of sex. I don't know who makes up these quotes, but it sells magazines and newspapers.
Hefner, important because we will be going to the Playboy Mansion here in Los Angeles.
That's right.
Very soon, the 26th. A study out of UCLA that I found interesting, it studies why and when women dress in their sexiest clothing. And here's what they found. Around the 15th day of a woman's menstrual cycle, when she's most fertile, that is when she decides to generally wear a skirt instead of pants.
15 days away from when her menses ended?
The 15th day of the cycle, when women are ovulating.
When they're ovulating.
Yes, that's when they're most fertile.
15th day of the cycle sounds like a long cycle to me.
Total 28-day cycle, not the bleeding part. The bleeding part is just the end. Mm. I'm sorry to gross you out, but that's how it is.
Come on, baby.
I'm really sorry.
I don't know what kind of show you think this is. By the way, we got to smoke a bowl of Tad's pubes.
We'll get to that. So if you wonder why women sometimes want to show skin and wear their skirt, it's because they're ovulating and their body is telling them that it is time to reproduce. This, according to a UCLA study. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, makes sense. Time to get a little seed from a host.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. do it, Dave.
It must be the 15th day of my cycle because I have worn my most beautiful skirt ever. We'll get to that in just a second. Quickly, let me say this. The Oakland Athletics have already put themselves behind the eight ball. They lost game one of the ALCS last night to the visiting Detroit Tigers. Game two tonight again in Oakland. Really, not a must win, but you don't want to go down 0-2 and then have to go on the road for three games. Meantime, game one of the National League Championship Series, Metropolitans and the Cardinals begins. Now, the San Diego Chargers this weekend are at the San Francisco 49ers. The Chargers currently tied with the Broncos in the AFC West with the Broncos, this by virtue of their win on Sunday night against a team called the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mm. I've had a strongly worded conversation already with Big Ben Roethlisberger in my own house. I yelled it out. I hope he heard me out in Pittsburgh. But either way, his failure to make another touchdown pass has me wearing a dress today because of this bet that we made last Friday with Sean Merriman. See? I don't even want to talk about it anymore.
Neither does Sean.
Here we go. Let me just play it quick. So if the Steelers win, you have to shave DD into the side of your head, my initials, and then what would you like to have happen in return if the Steelers should lose, which is a moot point because they're not going to.
You got to put on a skirt.
Put on a skirt. Well, the Steelers lost. Yes. Sean Merriman's with us now.
Yes, they did. Sean?
Hey, how you doing?
Good to speak to you, Sean. Thank you for the victory on Sunday night. I had you guys, of course. I won the week in betting, and Dave not only has to sport the dress today, but when we spun the wheel, the gambling wheel, because I won this week, he lost $5,000 as well. So it has been a 1-2 punch to David's groin. Yes. Nice win, Sean.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You guys are going off to San Francisco, which should be a nice walkover win for you guys this Sunday. I know you don't like to look ahead to your next game, but let's do that. Let's look ahead to the following week.
Okay.
You know, people, Sean, people predict victories all the time. They get themselves into trouble. Next time you're interviewed, I want you to say, I'm looking ahead. I'm looking past San Francisco, and then people go, oh, you're looking forward to Minnesota? And you go, oh, is that who we're playing? I don't even know who we're playing. I'm looking past this next team.
I don't know who we're playing at the San Francisco.
That's good. That's good. And then I want you to add this. I'm looking so far ahead that I'm in the middle of the season 08. I've skipped ahead 2-3 seasons.
That's how little I think of the 49ers. Sean, let's look back for 1 second, though. I want to ask you this. How do you feel about yourself after you and your pals beat up on poor Big Ben Roethlisberger, who's been through so much the last game? Motorcycle accident, appendectomy, you feel like a man beating up on him?
As long as they lose and we win, I really don't care. I really don't care about a motorcycle accident or anything else.
Yeah. I must say that I was impressed with Rivers. Phillip Rivers throws a nice ball. He looks good. He looks poised for a guy who has not taken a ton of snaps in his short career. You must be excited playing on the defensive side of the ball with that kind of offense coming in this year.
Oh, I am, because it makes it that much easier for us, and we don't have to go out there and win every game because we have a good offense. We have the best running back in the league, the best tight end, and Rivers playing pretty good. I mean, we're looking positive right now.
Yeah, it's funny. They've seemed to have taken some of the load off of LT's shoulders and sort of mixed it around the offense, but the team is looking pretty complete at this point. I don't know who's making the predictions. I don't know I guess the Bears are probably one of the top teams, but San Diego's got to be up there in the mix, right?
Oh,
top
yeah.
three
the,
or four?
In the AFC, certainly.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, we had one goal from the start of the season, that's to go to the Super Bowl, and can we do it? Definitely. We just have to win those games and come out and win those games like we won Sunday.
And how'd you like the throwback uniforms? Because that seems to be the consensus. Everyone seems to enjoy the powder blue, which seems counterintuitive when it comes to football uniforms, that the baby blue would look the best, but those are the best looking Bolts uniforms. And can you guys lobby to wear those more often?
Oh, Oh, we've been trying to. I think we love the baby blues, and we only really get a chance to win one time a year. So we're trying to get the point across. It's a waste of uniform if we only get to wear it one time a year. So hopefully we can get it on again.
Well, how much pull do you guys have? I mean, if you guys got together as a team and you said, look, we really like these uniforms. We feel like we play well. Maybe there's a little superstition involved with it. We want to wear the baby blues next week. Would they let you do it?
Well, if we're winning, yes. If we're losing, our opinions probably won't count.
All right, Sean. Well, I really do appreciate you being part of the show, and I appreciate you gambling with our own Dave Damashek, who's now going to don a dress.
Yes, I mean, Let Sean, me wouldn't you like to know what the dress looks like that Dave Damashek...
That's why I was just about to ask for a picture.
I will describe it. It's a pale pink wraparound skirt.
It's a flirty handful of chiffon. What it is. Dave has never looked better. And easy access, hey, if you know what I'm saying.
It. Let me tell you, joke's on you, Sean Merriman, because I love this dress. I've never felt so free. It's nice and airy.
I got to say, I would wear a skirt if it was acceptable. Sean, what about you?
No, I wouldn't wear a skirt.
Me neither. That's gay. Sean's right. I was just kidding, buddy. I was testing you. Woo! You pass that, baby, with flying colors. Sean Merriman, all-pro linebacker. Good luck coming up this Sunday in San Francisco. Not that you'll need it.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it.
Congratulations,
and,
Merriman.
We hope to talk to you soon and check back with you throughout the season.
All right, take care.
Nice job. Sean Merriman. SeanMerriman.com is where you go to find out more information about this lovable giant, this budding superstar.
Damashek's number one sports.
If you love him so much, why don't you marry him, Carolla?
Because we're not gay like you in the dress. All right, you want to go to the Playboy Mansion? We got tickets. We got a little Halloween party we're throwing over there. We'll be broadcasting on the evening of the 26th. Coming up. When is that? A couple weeks? 866-901-ADAM is the number you call. Next, we have our... listener Nathan, who is going to smoke a bong load of pubes and thus make his way to the mansion with us. That's the deal. We're going to set up a little obstacle course. Maybe it's putting an M80 in a pomegranate and blowing it up in your luxury SUV. Maybe it's smoking a bong load of Tad's pubes. Whatever it takes to get to the Playboy Mansion with us, we'll put you through it. So we'll talk to him after this.
Adam. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Back to the Adam Carolla Show. What would you do to get into the Playboy Mansion for our Blotto in the Grotto Halloween party?
I will go ahead and take a 2.5-foot bong load of Tad's pubes to get into the Playboy Mansion.
Now you gotta inhale.
Check out the list of humiliating stunts at AdamCarolla.com. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Let's change this song, too. We had Dead Man's Party before. Is this it's a Clash song, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I like the Clash, but not this song. This song sucks. So let's change that song, too. Only thing worse than that song is Dead Man's Party. Official Halloween song that sucks ass, but we have to hear it all the time because it's like school's out for summer. There's one song for Halloween, there's one song for graduating high school, and it's those. And they both suck, but we have to hear them every year. Where was I? I digressed. Nathan Krager is in studio. Nathan?
Yes.
Good to see you.
Nice being here.
24 years old, resident of Santa Ana, currently works in home construction. You're building?
Yes.
Pale face.
If I was shearwalling a house, how thick would the plywood be?
5/8.
Or half inch?
You can do, no, it's just 5/8.
Huh?
Wow.
The code's changed. It's probably been a while since you've been out.
Ooh. Oh. Well, listen, kid. I didn't bring you in here.
Get your fucking shine box.
I didn't bring you in here to insult me. I brought you in here to smoke pubes.
Yeah, how dare he insult you by calling you too successful to be in construction?
Yeah. Thanks, David. High five. Yeah, thanks, buddy. Right back at you. Wow, they moved the code to 5/8.
Yes.
Got to look into that. What's the nailing schedule on that shear wall?
I'm not sure.
Aha. Aha. You wouldn't know that it was 12 in the field and 6 on the seams, would you?
Probably is.
All right. Well, look, let's focus on what's important. First, you graduated from Pikes Peak Community College in Colorado.
Yes.
Is that where the Pikes Peak car race is?
Yes.
Oh. You went to junior college in the shadow of Pikes Peak?
Yes.
You know what? I make fun of junior college all the time. I will make an exception. If you attend Pikes Peak Junior College in Colorado, I'll give you a pass. If you're going to Pierce out here, or you're going to LA Valley College over in Van Nuys, listen, kill yourself. Really, the world would be a better place. But if you're going to go to Pikes Peak, this is a legendary car race. For 100 years, they've been having a race up this dirt road that goes, you know, 8,000 feet to the top of Pikes Peak. Yes?
Yes.
Do you like the race?
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
All right, then you're in. Now, where were we? You want to go to the Playboy Mansion.
Right.
Right. And you're willing to smoke a bong load of Big Tad's pubes. That's the razor. Big Tad's pubes in order to get in. Now, here's how it's going to go. We were going to pack this bong filled with Tad's pubes. You must inhale, and you must hold it for how long, Brian?
You said 5 Mississippis yesterday.
I did, which turns out to be exactly the length of this clip. Just count in your head.
Nathan.
Here you go, Bruce.
Which turns out to be about 8 seconds. We timed it yesterday. So, again, 5 Mississippi. Oh, Tad's pubes
are
everywhere.
I'm packing it right now.
Tad, how shaved were you before this began?
Well, you know, I like to keep clean. Yeah, thank you, buddy. I shaved about 2 weeks ago. So this is new hair. So
you're missing the whole thing. Pack it in.
Why
there.
Don't you shave about 30 inches off your waistline instead of worrying about your sack?
Exactly. You know, for whom are you doing this shaving since no woman has seen your genitals in 5 years?
Hey, kiss my ass, dude. Mr. Man wearing a dress.
Is it Manscaped?
Look, yes. Tad, are you shaved? Let me see how shaved you are down there.
Oh, I'm cutting myself out.
Tad, you may not have enough pubes to fill that bong.
Don't you worry, man. It takes a while to do this. Hold on.
Well, that's fine.
I'm packing.
Tad, we're going to ignore... Okay, hold on a second. Remember yesterday when you said you were shaved down there, and I said that's not enough pubes, and we're going to need supplementary pubes?
Well, let me go in the bathroom real quick. Let me drop trow, and I can really do this. I can't do it right here.
You can do it here. I'll look away.
Just come on. Get down.
You're fired.
Bill. Yes, break. We got some emergency pubes we may need.
Oh,
Bill,
no.
The gay board out.
I'm pulling some out right now.
Oh, he's plucking them straight out.
Well, bring them around.
Like Larry Fine's head.
Or get your pube mule to bring them around. However you get them here. Right, bring your pubes over here. Not only is Bill gay, which makes it worse, I don't know why, but he has red pubes, I would imagine, which makes it worse. Again, and that popping you hear, those are crabs exploding. Tad.
I'm working here.
Nathan's actually starting to look a bit upset.
Not really. I mean,
Nathan, you just thought this was going to be one of those radio things, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
You didn't know we're actually going to have...
Come here, smoke a cigarette or something, that's it.
Right. We're all going to pay a steep price. I think this is going to stink something awful.
Yes. Let me talk to callers here. Let's see. Valor?
Hey, Adam.
That your name, Valor?
Valor.
Valor.
Yeah,
what's up? What do you want to do to go to the Playboy Mansion?
I was going to take a shot from Death Rat Guy's potato gun.
Interesting. I don't know if it, you know, there is a fine line between what we can do and what we can put you through and what the man will let us do in terms of insurance and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Twice baked potato?
Tad is... twice baked, maybe. Tad is still feverishly trying to harvest more pubes from his groin region. I'll tell you what's on the list, Valor.
Okay. All right.
Valor, whatever you're calling yourself. What kind of goofy name is that? Where are you from?
I'm Filipino, Adam.
I knew it. Troublemaker.
Right.
All right.
Along.
Listen, you're lucky I don't know more about your country of origin. Otherwise, we would have problems. It's easy to shut me up because I know Japan, I know China, I know France and Germany. And that's about it. Once in a while, some guy goes, I'm from Ecuador. And I go, okay, you're lucky I can't find that on the map, brother. Or we'd have a problem. I guarantee it right now.
You're like the best of all the Asians, Adam.
Yes, good food, too. So here's the thing. We have get a tattoo of Don King's head under your armpit so that when you raise your arm up, your pit hair becomes Don King's hair.
Yeah, I know about that one.
That's a good-looking one. I don't know if that's going to pop on a Filipino brother, though. I think we may need a honky for that one. Uh-oh. Okay. Just took his shirt off.
What does he even need a shirt
reaching
off
into
for?
His pants with both hands.
Who knew that Tad would not have pubes? And Tad, what about your ass crack or the back of your sack?
I can go that way. Hold on.
Go down there. I'm going to look the other way while you do that, please.
Let's see.
God knows. And then, I don't know. I hope that
Brian is literally, he looks like he's going to throw up from the smell.
Brian is dry heaving.
Wait, there's a smell already?
Yes. I didn't shower this morning, sorry.
Oh, no.
Now, we also have get a tattoo of me on your ass and then use the ass hair to be shaven in as my beard on my head. Although, again, the Filipino thing, I'm not sure how you're packed for ass hair. I'm guessing you're pretty slim down there.
Light on the body hair.
Mm. Yeah, a lot of these things involve shaving or tats or something. Do we have one? Oh, what kind of car do you drive?
I was thinking about the
Pomodoro?
I have an Escalade. Yeah.
Escalade? What year?
Yeah, it's an 05.
05.
Oh, that's a nice car.
It's a decent ride. We do have a guy who has a BMW convertible 645, which is a $75,000 car, who says we can light off an M80 and a pomegranate inside of his car. I'm just going to light the fuse, shut the door, and then we'll just watch it explode. Should be pretty good. So
you can
I'm
do
not,
it side by side.
I'm not sure. Yeah. I think shot from a potato gun, not bad. Not sure if it'll pass legal muster. I need you to keep thinking on this one.
Okay, Adam.
That's all right. Just call back. Look, we'll design some of these, but impress us is what I'm saying. I mean, don't call up and say, hey, you know, Big Tad, I'll kiss his ass or something boring like that. Come up with something good. If you come up with something good, something creative, try not to be too gay. We'll get you in. Tad, how you doing on the pubes?
I think, Bill, I think we're going to need some of yours, too. Let's mix this
Bill,
up.
Let's get the pubes over here. Yeah. Stat, would you, brother?
This is a small bowl. I can't believe you can't fill it.
Can we send someone to pick them up?
I shave. I'm sorry.
Brusca,
but why? You don't have any girls who ever see your genitals, so who cares what they look like?
Tell Brusca to go on a pube run. Go to Bill.
He's got him. Bill's got him.
He's got him.
Go. It's in an envelope. Geron.
Geron, go grab him.
Come on. Your people have been doing that for centuries. Go get those pubes, Geron. Oh, yeah. He comes from a long line of proud pube runners.
Yeah, I hope his grandfather asked him today, how was work at your internship at the radio show?
Oh, look, his grandfather could tell you stories about the Underground Pube Railroad. That's how they used to move pubes back then. Harriet Tubman moved the first set of pubes in trying to distant relative.
What sucks is I got to pack this now.
Pack Bill's gay board op pubes into that bong, please. And hurry, Tad. Jesus Christ.
Are there pubes landing on the floor of this?
All right, and let me say this. Tad, hold your ears, because this is going to get insulting. Do you guys notice this very dangerous yet stupid trend? Guys who... It's really the equivalent, Tad, with the goatee and the tan and the earring and the shaved nutsack, is the equivalent to the guy who gets the... $900 worth of beat up Toyota Tercel and puts $3,000 worth of rims on it like he's going to get laid. Look, Tad, you're morbidly obese. You're 200 pounds overweight. That's what's getting in between you and the ladies. It's not like they take a look at your huge belly and are turned on and then go, oh, no piercings? Sorry, done deal. No crappy tattoos? Sorry, done deal. No stupid X Games goatee? Done deal. That's not how it works. Why compensate? Why worry about the slick look and the shaved pubes and the stupid tats and all? All you got to do is lose 100 pounds and you're in.
Don't worry.
Dance around the issue.
Don't worry about me. He's now cramming Bill's pubes into the bowl with a Sharpie.
Well, actually, it's a mixture of mine and Bill's. Does anybody else want to put some in this?
No.
Tad's also the guy who eats three pubes. Big Macs and 28 McNuggets and then gets the Diet Coke on the side.
Nathan Krager is here. He's 24 years old. He is going to smoke the bong load. Of the pubes. Oh, my God. They're just hanging out like a Brillo pad was stuffed in there.
Fiery red ones.
You know what would be funny, Nathan? After you smoke this bong load of Bill the Gay Board Op's pubes and Big Tad's pubes, it would be funny if later on in the afternoon you're like, man, I just got this craving to eat a whole turkey and go down on a guy. Is anybody else? But you're straight. I don't know. But you eat like a pixie. I don't know what's going on. It's got this urge. I can't fight it anymore. It would be funny if you turn the corner.
Now, Nathan, you hadn't bargained for the pubes of a gay man. Does that concern you more?
I wasn't part of the original agreement, but I can't back out of it now. So.
Good for you.
And I got to say, if we spoke to Bill the Gay Bordop's dad earlier in the show, because it's National Coming Out Day, and even though he knows he's gay, I said it'd be funny if he called and just said he was gayer. He took it like a man. He then suggested that Bill get more airtime. So, Mr. Mahoney, if you're listening, these are your son's pubes that are being smoked. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. They packed in there?
It's coming out a little bit.
As packed as it's going to be.
Who's got the lighter?
Got the lighter right here.
Okay. Now, Nathan, do you smoke weed? You look pretty straight to me.
No, I don't.
Do you smoke cigarettes?
No. used to.
Well, this is going to be good because you're going to be coughing. And here's what we have to decide in advance. He's going to take a bong load of the pubes. He is going to cough. I think he's going to cough. I'm pretty sure he's going to cough. Yes. And when he does, we may have to try this again.
Because it has to stay in there.
I need you to inhale some pube smoke.
Just concentrate on the Playboy Mansion.
Yes.
That's all.
Mm-hmm. Imagine the beautiful Playboy bunnies.
Now you have to hold it in for this length. It's 8 seconds. It's going to feel like a lifetime. But it is just 8 seconds. We timed it yesterday. Maybe less.
Can we go?
We ready to go? All right, Nathan. He's firing up the bong. Sparking up the pube.
He's never smoked before.
Yeah, he looks like a pro. Oh, look at that. All right, now he's not. He let the carb go. It's in his lungs. Play it.
Still smoking.
2 seconds. Exhale.
Oh, and the exhale's in here.
That was dirty. Chia lung. Oh, my God. Smoke's now filled with bird pubes. Oh, I know those people that liberated Auschwitz. Now I know how they felt when they walked into that camp.
How was that, Nathan?
It was nasty.
Oh, come on. You smoked bong loads of pubes before.
Don't be coy.
He brought some stick gum. Smart. All right, listen. I need to take a vomit break or at least a dry heave break.
Oh, everyone
here is absolutely disgusted. We'll take a break. We'll be right back after this.
Steelers fan now has to face his fate. Hairy legs, short skirt, such an ugly sight, he'll make your eyeballs hurt. He lost a bet to Sean Merriman. Now Dave Dameshek is just a cross-dressed man.
Good Christ, I'm gay.
Nathan Krager in studio, 24 years old, construction guy, Tyson. And just smoked a nice fat bowl of Big Tad and Bill the Gay Bordop's pubes. They burnt nicely. They smoked nicely. He inhaled it. He held it. And then he blew out a nice big plume of puby smoke. Did you catch a buzz?
No.
Okay.
You got a hair in my mouth.
Did you
though.
Catch anything?
No.
So I guarantee if you said yes, Engineer Dawson would be smoking his own pubes this evening.
I will go see the doctor after this, though, and get routed.
Yeah, it's a good idea. You should get flushed out. A brusket came in here and just emptied a can of Lysol in the place. The whole place smelled. You know what burning hair smells like? It's a weird sort of death smell to it. This was worse than anything you've ever smelled. And, of course, the studio is filled. We've all now inhaled at least a little bit of Bill and Big Tad. I hate to look at it that way, but Brian almost vomited.
Wow.
You're right, buddy.
This is supposed to be torture on the listener, not on us.
I know.
Well, Big Tad, unbeknownst to anyone, unplugged our air scrubber machine that we had over here. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but if there is ever a time that thing needed to be plugged in, it was when Krager, or Nathan Krager, that is, was exhaling the pube smoke, and it was unplugged. Anyway, it's starting to clear. We have some more challenges, so we're going to give you one ticket.
What?
No,
what?
I was just kidding.
Oh.
No, we're going to give you a $50 gift certificate to Hooters. No, we're going to give you two tickets, and we'll see you at the Playboy Mansion on the 26th. Johnny is on the phone. Johnny?
What's up, Ace Man?
You're willing to get that tattoo?
I'll get it tonight.
You'll get the Don King tattoo.
The Don King in my armpit.
Yeah, this is Don King's head right on your ribs, right under your armpit hair. We'll take your armpit hair, and what we'll do is we'll shave the bottom so it's sort of crescent. So right. It's sort of concave. You know, so it comes up.
His little peak.
And then when you're at the beach and you lift your arm up, boom, Don King.
Right.
Are we sure this guy's hairy enough?
I'm all over it.
How are you doing in the hair department, Johnny?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm half Arabic, so I got some farm right there.
Yeah, it'd be nice if you had the sort of puby-like nappy hair that looked a little more like the Don King do, rather than the long...
It's not the exact straight hair, so it would work good.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen Nick Nolte's pit hair, but I don't think that would work. If you could picture what Nick Nolte's pit hair would look like, that wouldn't work.
Right, Gary Busey, right.
Yeah, that wouldn't work either. Yeah.
Right.
I'm looking more Bernie Mac.
Right.
All right, Johnny. Johnny, we're going to do this on Friday. We have our tattoo artist coming in on Friday. Can you break away from what you're doing? What do? Work with children, I hope?
No, actually, I work in a sign shop here in Phoenix, Arizona.
Can you get out here? I don't know. Friday.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I can. My boss is listening from the other room, so I hope he's going to let me go. But I'll be there. I'll be there bright and early.
Well, why don't you just make a sign that says, I quit, kiss my ass, and hold it up against the window so he sees it.
To go to the Playboy Mansion, Adam, I almost would, man.
That's what I like about you, Johnny. All right, we'll put you on hold. We want to do one tomorrow. Now, another one I had that I thought was simple but diabolical. I would like you just to shave half of your body hair. Just put a stripe right down the center of you and shave half. Now, if you have a beard, that's a plus. And if you have a beard, I'd like to mix it up, which is to say I'll leave the right side of your beard on your face, but we'll remove the right side of your hair on your scalp. So you end up having a patch. Yeah, well, you know what I'm saying.
Yes, this seems better if the guy has especially long hair.
Long hair. Beard again, a plus. Vince?
Yeah.
How you fix for hair?
Fix for hair? I actually talked to you 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, my hair is not ridiculously long right now. I just got a haircut. But what I was going to add to it is you could wax me.
Well,
instead of just doing the standard shaving, because that's a lot more.
Yeah, the waxing could take hours, and then also I don't know if we want to facilitate that. We got to get the little Asian woman in here to heat up that pot of wax and everything.
Well, you could just get, you know what NADS is?
Oh, I do. It's cold wax.
Yeah,
they have cold wax.
Sure.
All right. Well, we'll get some of that. How are you doing in the beard department?
In the beard department? It's a fresh beard, basically, but it's coming along.
What do you got? When's the last time you shaved?
Probably last week sometime.
Mm-hmm. All right, so it's starting to come in. And what color is your hair?
Like brown, like 90% of the people out there.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys think with Vince? What's your nationality, Vince?
I'm Irish.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that.
German, yeah.
All right, do you have hair on your legs? Do you have hair on your chest?
I got hairy legs. I got a hairy stomach for the most part.
Okay. What do you guys think?
I think besides the shaving, maybe there. What are the other options, maybe?
Let's keep him in mind because waxing is incredibly painful.
Mm-hmm.
And he is willing to come a long distance.
Well, we have a couple with the tattoos. We have the Don King tat in your armpit, and then we have my face on your ass. One where we're hopefully shave it so it looks like I have a beard.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, I like that one too, but that involves the tattoo artist, which is not happening until Friday. Then we have the M80 and the pomegranate in your car, but we already have a guy for that, and plus, I think we have to hammer that one out because that's a... Probably going to have some fire marshal or something.
Right. And you want this to be a spendy car, too. You don't want it to be a junker.
Yeah. Now, right now, the top of that list is a BMW 6 Series. I think it's an 05. It's a convertible. It's a $75,000 automobile. And when we light off that pomegranate in the car, it is just going to make a mess that no man could ever clean up. But if you're calling in and you say, I got an Aston Martin, a Ferrari, a Bentley, or I got a Cadillac and it has a mink headliner, or whatever it is. If we got any pimps listening, if Don Magic Juan is up this early and you're listening, brother, you want to bring that caddy in, well, then we got... See, that's the whole thing. We have to weigh all this
points
stuff.
Points if it's white inside the interior?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Breska handed me a note about the golf ball on Dave's ass, but I don't like that one. I think it's weak.
It's too easy.
Well, we could put a tee in the butt, and then I would hit it off the tee, but yeah, I don't know.
You mean they would insert it?
Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't... you know why? Because I don't feel like you would take a full swing.
Oh, I would take a full swing if it was on a tee.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're not that good at golf, are you?
I have a gorgeous swing. How dare you?
Oh, really? All
right. Not as gorgeous as your legs in that skirt.
Oh,
John?
Yeah, hey, Adam, I'm not signing up for any of this stuff, but I want to know what the pube hair bong hit was in Hobo Power.
Oh, interesting.
Good question.
Interesting. We haven't spoken about Hobo Power for a while. Hobo Power, Nathan, if you don't know, is a unit of stink measurement. I've said many times that we have kilowatts and we have horsepower. We have pounds and ounces and kilograms and all that. We have all these units, knots. We have all these units of measurements. But we don't have a measurement for stink. You know, a guy says, I let a really rank fart go, or this chick smelled, or whatever it is. But how bad? Hobo Power
is
my now unit of measurement.
50?
50 is a cat that was fed nothing but blue cheese, making a duke on a white hot hibachi. And the plume of smoke that comes off of that.
That's 50.
That's just 50. 100, hypothetical. No one's been there.
Right. And at what point? I think you vomit around 30?
You vomit somewhere 25, 30 range. Yeah. And so, again, 100, there's a lot of people who say they've seen 100, but they're not alive to talk about it.
Right.
I would say the plume of smoke that came out of young Nathan after he exhaled the pubes that he smoked would have been... See, there's a psychological component to this. If you just walked into the room, you might say, someone got an onion bagel in the toaster? What is that? And then you find out it's pube smoke, and then you start vomiting. So there is a psychological component to it. We're in a pretty small area with no ventilation. I got to say, with the Gay Bill, the board ops pubes woven into the bowl, as it were, I got to give it a high teens.
Yeah,
I give it a high
teens.
Thank goodness for gays, for gay bills. They sweeten things up a little bit.
If if sound effects man Brian would have vomited.
There was a vomit in my esophagus. We almost hit 20s.
Almost into the 20s, but not quite.
Emotionally, which is part of the Hobo Power measure, we've all inhaled molecules of Tad's pubes into our lungs.
Yeah.
They're in us now.
I got to say, this could change you, Nathan. Like I said, if you get a hankering for food or penis, you either want a turkey leg or a man's phallus later in the day. You come back and talk to us.
Lose weight, get out of mom's house.
Buck? What happened to Buck? Did I just punch Buck? Oh, he hung up the second I punched him up. All right. Well, let's see what else we have on the board here. Someone wants to lick the hippo chair my dog Molly has sex with.
That's creative.
But what's in it for us? It's an expensive chair. It was a nice gift someone got us. I'm sure they didn't get us this gift. It's a gift for my twins. Somebody got us a very nice, sort of shabby, chic, what looks to be upscale and sort of boutique-y, expensive chair. It's a miniature chair for the kids, shaped like a hippo. Now, I'm sure when they dropped the $400 for it, they didn't envision my dog raping it on a nightly basis. I thought they'd think the kids would probably use it to sit on. As it turns out, my dog Molly, who's a female, rapes the bejesus out of the chair, and if I said 25 times a day, I would not be exaggerating.
And she really loves that chair. Maybe we can't ruin it for her. Molly, that is.
It's funny with dogs, you know. It's weird. They got a lot of range. The dog Molly, 1 second is sleeping up on the bed with us while we're feeding the kids. The next second has her squiddly diddly toy wants to play, and 4 seconds later is raping a chair. It'd be the equivalent of me napping, holding a tennis racket and going, who wants to play? And then just pounding the bejesus out of a stranger seconds later. I mean, it really is. I got to say, they may do, you know, 1 year, they may have 7 dog years for every 1 year, but they squeeze a lot of living into that 7 years.
Well, but you say, what would we get out of it? This is the equivalent of a guy performing oral on canine vagina. I mean, that's grotesque.
Yeah, but then the chair, and then I'd have to explain, have to get into this. Honey, where are you going with the hippo chair? Getting it, you know, simonized, martinized, dry clean. They're just bringing it to work. My back's killing me. Get off it. Yeah, the old lady's going to know where I'm going with the hippo chair when I say a listener's going to lick it after Molly made sweet love to it. She's going to want a divorce.
K-9-a.
All right, blow up fruit in the Mercedes. Let's see. Someone has a Mercedes 500, S500. It's an expensive automobile. Let's talk to Andy. Andy?
Hey, Adam. How's it going?
What year's the Mercedes?
It's a 2004 S500 that I'm trying to sell, so it will be even harder to sell after a pomegranate exploded in it.
What color's the headliner?
It's charcoal. Great.
Charcoal. Interior?
It's the dark black, basically. The
charcoal.
Black.
All right. Not necessarily a deal buster, because the thing we are blowing up in it is bright red, the pomegranate. I think it was a charcoal or black interior in the BMW we're talking about. I'm no Kelly Blue Book, but I can tell you that the BMW is probably worth a couple of grand more than the Merce 500, although that is a nice luxury automobile. And hell, maybe we ought to blow something else up in there.
Yeah.
Sure.
And maybe we ought to do it with a cantaloupe or something. I mean, we ought to do it with a watermelon. All right. You know what, Andy? Hang on.
All right.
I'm being inspired because I am picturing visually taking a big, fat, juicy pomegranate, size of a softball, just oozing with that red ooze that comes out of it, putting an M80 in the middle of it, setting it on the center console of an expensive foreign automobile, lowering the seats back to full recline, lighting the M80, and then shutting the door and just standing outside of it in the parking garage and watching it explode.
Can I offer this as an alternative? A can of beets.
Well, the can part is the tough part.
How else can we? Because beets will stain something.
Yeah.
And you will never get it out.
We'll work it out. I think if we put our minds together between, a walk down the produce aisle and any supermarket, we should be able to figure out something pretty cool to explode in somebody's car.
How about we uncan a spam and put it in there? That would be hideous smelling and a mess.
Yeah, that might be good, too. All right, we need to take a break. I want to thank Nathan for coming in. Nathan. Mm-hmm. Listen, I'd follow you into battle, my friend. You're a leader. You're a mensch. You're a pioneer. I thought you were going to cop out. I thought when you were watching that bong get loaded up with pubes, you were going to have second thoughts and chicken out.
No, I wasn't.
Still high, huh?
Yeah.
All right, Nathan. Nice work. We'll give you the two tickets to the Playboy Mansion. That's on the 26th. We're going to keep scheming on this. Tats on Friday. For sure. Like to get the body shaved in tomorrow at some point. We'll keep working on that. Mr. Brightside coming up. Dave's jerk list coming up. We got Dominatrix coming up. All that still left on the Adam Carolla Show.
Call 866-901-ADAM.
I got fired.
A lot of people don't have a job to get fired from.
I've been taking care of my 14-year-old nephew.
He's an indentured servant.
I had to put my cat to sleep on.
Good. Sex. All cats do is sleep anyway.
Adam puts a positive spin on your problems on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hope you enjoyed that, because you're going to be hearing it again in about 20 minutes. Yeah, we're not going to do Mr. Brightside this segment. We fired that off by mistake. We talked about it. I had some more pressing issues, and then we'll do that next segment. Also, Dave's jerk list coming up. Jerry Kotzenmacher. He is a Minnesota Department of Transportation guy. He installed flashing yellow lights on the red turn arrows. I would like to pick this man's Scandinavian brain and figure out why we can't implement some of that here in the good old Los Angeles, but I'll talk to him. So be prepared for a Mount Rainier-sized jag coming up. Animated, standing up, hands flailing, brow furled and sweaty. Believe me, I will be jagging and ranting my ass off in about 40 minutes when we talk to Jerry. Dave's jerk list, Dominatrix coming in. But first, I wanted to talk about what I did on Saturday. Last Saturday, I was the Grand Marshal at the East Valley Trojans Pop Warner Pee Wee Football League football game out in beautiful scenic Van Nuys, California. I'm sorry I called Van Nuys an armpit only moments before they asked me to come do it in Van Nuys. Our home field used to be North Hollywood High. Used to be where I ended up playing my high school ball. But I played Pop Warner football, and I played for 7 years, which is as long as you can play Pop Warner football. And now I've learned longer than you can play it, because now that high school is included ninth graders in the mix, there's no more bantam Pop Warner football. That would make you a freshman in high school, and you just play on the freshman team, the JV team, whatever you want to call it, wherever you're from. I want to digress for a quick second. I grew up, it was always 10th, 11th, and 12th in high school. I know it varies from wherever you're from, but our high school started in 10th grade. Some brainiac decided we ought to start working the 9th graders into the mix. I don't think this is a great plan. I feel like once you all go to the same high school, the humping party begins.
Yes.
There's nobody who can't hump anyone who goes to the high school with them. That's how it works. If you're a senior guy and you're 18 years old, if someone goes to your high school, you can ask them to the prom. You can date them. It doesn't matter. It's game on, is it not? Now, I didn't know too many guys in high school that would go fishing from the junior high pond. That was considered weird. You're not going back to junior high to get a date once you date someone at your high school. But if there's a hot ninth grader who could technically be 14 years old, and then there's some senior flunky who could have skipped a grade or been held back, you could have a 19-year-old guy going out with a 14-year-old. I don't like it.
It's common, I bet. It's very common.
Yeah, your eyeballs should do the talking for you. I mean, just look at an 18-year-old boy with a 14-year-old girl, and it looks illegal.
Yes, and as long as you're going to the same high school, I don't think anyone's really going to say anything about it. Plus, the ninth grade women are attracted to the older guys, and for the older guys, well, hell, it's payday. Because when you go to high school as a guy, you take a beating, well, actually beat yourself in the ninth grade, the 10th grade, but you keep thinking, one day, I'm going to be senior, I'll be big man on campus, and then I'll get to date all the new incoming freshmen and sophomores and all that kind of stuff. So, not a great plan, but I digress. Let's move forward. The point is I played 7 years of Pop Warner football. I learned everything I need to know about life playing Pop Warner football. I really did. We had angry, scary men coaching. Yes, sir. No, sir. It was boot camp. I didn't know anyone's first name. I just knew last names. That's how it worked. You had your name on a piece of tape on your helmet. You had your last name. So much so that was my name was Corolla. It wasn't Adam. It was Corolla. Somebody met my sister one day and said, oh, you're Corolla's sister. That's how indoctrinated they were. And it was yes, sir, no, sir. And a lot of scary guys and windbreakers who were frustrated from not being able to make it past college ball, grabbing you by the face mask and calling you a candy ass and a fairy and telling you your last easy day was yesterday. You're 8 years old. You're plotzing in your pants. And he's screaming at you, this is not Leisure World, ladies. And you're thinking, where is this Leisure World and how do I get in? My entire life's dream from age 7 to age 29 was to get to this mythical place called Leisure World that the coaches had always spoken about.
A utopia.
That's my Valhalla. I was like, where's this Leisure World and how do I get there? I knew it was a bunch of farts driving around in jumpsuits and golf carts. He didn't explain that part. It was just, ladies, this is not Leisure World. And using the sexes against you, doing this. My little daughter, Kelly, yeah, in her gymnastics class, they do more push-ups than you pusses do. And you'd be down, and they'd be screaming at you. And they thought water was bad for you back then, too. It was weird. Hey, just a rinse. You'll cramp up. You'll cramp up. San Fernando Valley. You remember what the weather was like about 3 weeks ago? 103, 105 degrees. Two-a-days. Out in the middle of the San Fernando Valley, just sweating out in the sun. No water. It'll make you soft. All right, I'll tell you what. After 2 hours of running jingle jangles and wind sprints and crabbing and all sorts of stuff like that, you can get a little drink, a little suck off the hose, but just a rinse. Just a rinse. We don't want you to cramp up. Take some salt tablets and run some laps. They beat the crap out of us, but I'll tell you what it really did teach you. It taught you teamwork, taught you to depend on others, and it taught you to kind of be a man. I do think that kids today are pusses, especially the boys. I don't think they can change a flat. I don't think they can fight. I hear a lot of guys sort of whining about doing anything. You know, I think if you told your average 11-year-old, look, go out and mow the lawn and then just rake it up. And then he'd be like, screw that, old man. I'm playing Xbox and I'll sue your ass if you get near me. These guys would do things. These coaches, they used to have this thing where they said, look, the games were Saturday. On Friday's practice, anybody can challenge anybody for the starting position. If you're tired of riding the pine, if you're tired of being second or third string, go challenge a guy for his position. Well, how do you do that? Well, we line you up, we square you up, get in your stance, and then you go at it. Just see who wins. I don't know how that worked in the skilled positions, but that's how we did it. It was that way for all the linemen. Just line up and go at it. Guys in a circle screaming. They used to play bull in the ring. The whole team would get in a circle And the circle would be wide. It would be 15 yards, maybe 10, 15 yards wide, 30 feet or so wide. And they call out some guy's number. Hickenstaller. Hickenstaller was the fat nose tackle who could never get in a stance. That's the only thing I remember from being seven and playing my first year Pop Warner is the coaches screaming, Hickenstaller, get in your stance! Because he was seven, and his whole thing is, I'm going to play nose tackle, but I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to see where the quarterback is, and I'll find the ball, and then I'll just go run to it and lay on the guy. But he would not get in his stance. And it's weird when you're seven and you're a behemoth. Protruding brow, huge jaw, big cankles. You know, it's weird when you see guys that look like 45-year-old Russians. You know, like an old, like, it's like they have hair on their back before they have hair on their back. Just a huge, big, that was Hickenstaller. Could not get in his stance to save his life.
Great name for him, too.
Hickenstaller, get in your stance! That's all I remember.
Get on your knees, scumbag!
So you'd get in the middle of the circle, bull in the ring, and you'd stand there, and they'd start shouting out guys' numbers. They could be behind you, they could be in front of you, and they'd start shouting it out faster and faster. Now, the guy's got one shot. They couldn't hit you and drive you out of the ring. They got one shot to see if they could knock you out of the ring. So you'd be in the middle of the ring, and you'd be breaking it down, feet chopping, head on a swivel in that linebacker stance. And all of a sudden, you go, 22, and a guy come flying out. Boom, he'd hit you. And then 44, and they'd keep speeding it up till the end. Eventually, you got exhausted, and you get knocked out of the ring. But this was good times and no water to back it up.
You said this was the best thing in your life.
Absolutely. And I, you know, it was weird. I knew it. I knew it on some weird level. That's why after I broke my shoulder when I was 10, I was probably 11 or 12 when I broke my shoulder, I had to play. I had to play the following year. There was a part of me that probably knew it was saving me. My family life was sort of chaotic. There wasn't much order to it. I guess I craved a little discipline. I craved and this is another good message, kids, as much as they say they want to be left alone, they're, you know, let me do my own thing. I'll go to bed when I want to go to bed. I'll brush my teeth if I want to brush my teeth. I'll do my homework if I want to do my homework. If you let them do what they want, they will start sliding into insanity. They will spin out. They need rules. They need structure, especially young boys. I really do believe that. I had no structure, but I found it in spades in the form of Pop Warner football. So I went back for the homecoming. Now, some things have changed over the years. For instance, no white guys anymore on the East Valley Trojans. They figured it out. They just the black guys and the Mexican guys. We didn't have as many of them. We always had a sprinkling of brothers and Latino guys on the team, but that was just an EEOC requirement. No, we just needed some skills players. We had a couple of guys, but we didn't have the whole team that way. Now, that's the way it is, but it doesn't matter. All the same rules still apply. I went over and spoke to the Gremlin team. The Gremlins are the 8 and 9-year-olds. And I had a picture of me with my brother, friend Henry Boyd, from the time I was a Gremlin holding our championship trophy up over at Poly High, still in the same East Valley Trojans uniform, which looks like the big Trojans uniform. It looks like a Southern California USC Trojans. I showed a picture to the kids, and the kids are funny because they have questions, but they don't have any governors. You know, things come flying out, like, why are you so fat? I mean, not to me, but if you're fat, a kid will want to know why you're so fat and then caution you may break the chair. You should possibly stand up. That's the beauty of kids. What a freedom. So they want to know, how old were you when you were taking this picture with Henry Boyd? And I said, well, I was your age. I was probably 9 years old now. They all got a kick out of that. And then some kid chimed in and said, how old are you now? I said, 42, and they all erupted with one big, ooh, oh, my God. Because a 17-year-old is over the hill when you're 8 or 9 years old, 42 is unimaginable. I'm older than their dads are. If you think about it, the dads are coaching. The dads are 28, 29, maybe 30. So big ooh, which then made me feel insecure, so I quickly asked for one of their undersized footballs and did my long snap. Just bullet right in the chest. Took the kid down right in the sternum.
I thought you were going to challenge them to bull in the ring.
Yes.
Who wants some? So then I did that, signed a few things, threw the ball around. It was nice to see the parents. It was nice to see the families. And then came time for the victory lap. The victory lap was in Now, I know when you think you're going to be homecoming queen, or king, I should say, you think you're going to be in the back of a Cadillac convertible or something like that. No such luck. There was nothing but lowrider cars with full hydraulics and 22-inch rims and metal flake candy apple paint all the way around. And the kids are, like, hanging their heads out of the sunroof of the Impala with the hydraulics, and Dad is making the car hop and down, and the kids are delighted. Look, if you're a 30-year-old guy and you're into your car hopping up and down, you're retarded, but it's the best gift you could give to your kids. Could you imagine being 8 years old, standing on the passenger seat of your dad's Impala, head hanging out of the sunroof, and the entire car lifting up and then dropping down, and then the right side popping up, and then the rear popping up? You'd be going out of your mind. I'd hang my head on my dad's VW, and we'd roll down Coldwater Canyon, and it was a thrill of a lifetime. I can only imagine what the hydraulics were. But again, fellas, if you're living in an apartment and you're over 30, perhaps it's not a great idea to sink $12,000 into your $2,000 automobile, especially if you're still renting. But I don't want to get preachy. I got in the back of a, I'd say, 84 convertible BMW 318i, Blue Book value, $1,600, and did a nice slow lap around the dirt track. There were nobody on the Chiefs side. They're playing the Chatsworth Chiefs, which is going to lead me into another story. But on the East Valley Trojan side, there was 60, 80 people up in the stands spread out with umbrellas. I was waving as we went by them with cloud of dust, pulling behind us a trail of lowrider cars that were in full hydraulic mode. And I thought, well, a lot of things stayed the same. A lot of things have changed. Waved everybody and then walked alone out in the parking lot and left.
Well, did you have inspirational words, though? Did you yell at them?
I did. You know, I told the kids, really, this is the best thing that ever happened to me, and you got to stick with it, because it's hard. It's doing what you don't want to do. It's getting used to doing what you don't want to do, and it's delayed gratification. It is doing the push-ups out in the hot sun. It's doing the wind sprints. It's being thirsty. It's being dirty. It's being tired. It's your lungs are burning and your head is throbbing, but it's so that one day you can hoist that trophy above your head or just look back and say you accomplished it. It's delayed gratification. And that's what you need to be successful. You need to be able to put off the big paycheck for a few years. You need to be able to do the night school while you're working the crappy day job. It's putting it off. The guys that quit the first day because it's too hot never get anywhere. It's being able to push through that and realize this is for a greater good. And I told those kids, and you know what the thing was nice about the kids, too? They started chiming in. Ah. I started to say, you know, this is important because it's great for teamwork and it's great for self-esteem. And one kid chimed in and, you know, said, builds character. And I was like, that's a good point, but don't ever step on me, kid. Not when I'm on a roll. Then I chucked the ball at his head again. I told him to get back to the Impala. Check the hydraulics. Yes, so it was gratifying. They gave me the jersey. Ironically, I now have the East Valley Trojans jersey. All the years I played, I never did get one. You would have to turn it in. People didn't own their own stuff back then. Nowadays, I think people have their equipment. You know, if you ride a skateboard, you have your own helmet. If you ride motocross, you have your own leathers and pants and jersey. And if you play football, you might have your own stuff, too. Back then, check it in, check it out. Give it back the next season. You didn't get your name on the jersey. The jersey I did have was the one that was cut off of me in the middle of the field after I broke and dislocated my shoulder. They actually cut my jersey off. And I remember thinking, this is great. I'm going to get a jersey. It'll be cut right down the center, but I can bring it home. But I think my mom either threw it away or smoked it. Oh, yes.
Teresa, what is the best sport? What is the best guy to date in high school, sport-wise? Like, do we rather have a baseball player?
Well, I went to a small private school, and they didn't really have athletes. But I would say the soccer players are always cute. They've got nice legs. Basketball players.
That's what should dictate the.
Yeah.
What
I want to know.
My family. After I broke my shoulder, my family's in love with the European lifestyle. For some stupid reason, probably because they get free medical and dental, and everyone hates this country. I think that's what they agree on. I think the one thing my family agrees on is, like Europeans, they hate this country. They always said soccer. Oh, that's the wave of the future. Oh, soccer. I was nine, and I was like, that's a puss sport.
Yes.
Give me a break. After you give a 9-year-old a helmet, a face mask, strap on shoulder pads, put on the pants with the thigh pads. You could hit him with a baseball bat. You wouldn't feel it. You tell a kid to get in a pair of dolphin shorts and chase some other faggots up and down a field. Are you high, old lady?
Well,
no way.
You guys met my ex, who's obviously a baseball player. Those are nice fellas.
Mm-hmm.
I care for that. But hearing this, I wonder if you're going to put your daughter in sports, because I wish I had played team sports. Ballet teaches you nothing except how to throw up your lunch.
Yeah, you always have an eating disorder. Everyone in dance has an eating disorder.
Will you put your little girl in sports?
No, I will. Look, she can do whatever she wants to do. I will, you know, if she wants to play softball, she can play softball. If she wants to dance, she can dance. I mean, ultimately, I think the kid's either going to take to it or they're not. I don't really know how much you can push them into almost anything. You can try. You can introduce things, and you can make it easy for them to do it. But if they're not into it, they're not into it.
Yeah, it was coming from you.
I was into football like a maniac. I was into football. I mean, I thought I was going to be a professional football player. It's during that time when you think you're going to do anything you want.
Well, you were drafted at the collegiate level.
Right? I had letters from crappy small colleges to come play for them. Yes, some of which you've heard of, some of which you haven't. All right, we need to take a break. Now, I have a story about playing football, but I've used up enough of your time. We're running late. How are we doing on the break here, Bruskin?
We're running a little late.
All right.
Like to get to Mr. Brightside if we could today, and the jerk list.
All right.
And the dominator.
Yeah, I've gone on long enough. Yeah, great show. A lot of fun. Look, I will tell my Pop Warner football story some other day. We will, but I'll put it on my list. I have a list of personal stories that we got off the AdamCarolla.com that we will slowly get to as the days turn into weeks and the weeks turn into months. I think I've spoken long enough. We need to hear, I think I'd like to hear the jerk list now, to tell you the truth. Yeah, let Dave do the jerk list, then we'll do Mr. Brightside, then we'll talk to the mayor of Twin Cities or wherever the hell the guy's coming from, the dominatrix and all that. Dave, you want to do the jerk list?
I'm in.
All right, we'll do the jerk list after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
Jerks! Shave! Jerks!
The jerk list.
The eyes, he's on. There's too many jerks.
That's what I love about
jerk!
The jerk list.
A severe penalty for being a jerk.
You're a jerk!
The jerk list.
Jerks! Jerks!
What an outrage.
Shave!
What a jerk.
You're a jerk!
The jerk list.
There's too many jerks.
Yes.
The jerk list.
Judge rules. Jerk.
All right. Well, time for another spirited episode of Mr. Brightside. Oh, wait a minute. I tuned out. What's going on?
Jerk list.
Jerk list. That's right. With our own Dave in a skirt damashek.
Let's get it done.
Wow. Never seen you this serious before, David.
Listen, I'll tell you what. Lot of jerks out there. First and foremost, yes, I sit here in a skirt this morning because Sean Merriman of the San Diego Chargers and the rest of his defensive pals beat up on poor motorcycle injury victim, appendectomy survivor, Big Ben Roethlisberger, the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday night. I hope you feel good about yourself, superstar. They call you all pro. They call you the next LT. They call you the best linebacker in football. I got a simpler name for you. Jerk! Last night.
Yes.
My lovely bride, Cindy, was enjoying a bowl of cereal. And I said, what kind is that? You know, they appeared to be, they were some ring-shaped, colorful little Cheerio kind of shape, little circle, little donuts. I said, what is that? She said, it's a new kind of cereal. It's called Fruity Cheerios. I said, what is that? And she said, as you can see, they're multicolored Cheerios that are fruit-flavored. I said, huh? Fruit-flavored, multicolored Cheerios. And they're calling it Fruity Cheerios. I think we have something already. They're called Fruit Loops.
Oh, this is an outrage.
Thievery! What are you doing, Cheerios? You already have your bag.
By the way, if you want to meet gay Bordop Bill, you can find him at the Fruity Cheerios, which is above the Cuffs Bar, having a smart cocktail at noon today.
I am expecting a salvo from the Fruit Loops people. I don't know what they have in store, you know?
Yeah, we're officially out of cereal. And we were sort of out of cereal about 9 years ago. So now all we're doing is sort of regurgitating stuff that we already remember from our childhood. Yes, those are Fruit Loops.
Yes. Then Miss Cindy and I went off to a movie.
Ooh.
We saw a picture. And the guy seated next to me, I was seated to my right was Miss Cindy. To my left was some random fella. And he had horrific breath. Now, if your breath is so bad that Cindy, not just me, she's two away. If your breath is so bad that Cindy can smell your breath two people away, how about you have a piece of gum? Are you really that unaware of yourself?
I'll tell you what. I blame these guys' friends, family members, loved ones, partners, life partners, wives, husbands. These are the people that need to pipe up. Just like when the guy decides to go with the suede vest and the cowboy boots and hit the town, they need one of their buddies going, "Hey, Fagala, you look retarded. I'm not going out with you. Now go back into the apartment, take the stupid vest off, and take the stupid boots off." They need their friends going, "Oh, my God, what'd you do? Did you go down on a dead possum? What's coming out of your mouth? How about a mint?" You, as friends, this is what you do. Otherwise, you expose the rest of society to your horrible friends and their halitosis.
I hear you. So, Brian, get ready here. We got some fast action here. One bad breath guy, jerk! Friends of bad breath guy, jerks! And I also forgot Fruity Cheerios to give them one. Jerk!
All right, they almost got away.
Yes. Oh, no, Missy. No chance of that. Now, we have to get to the jerk hotline. Please keep in mind 323-930-7318. Call up and nominate your jerks. We got a great call the other day. Listen to this. This poor SOB's trying to do a good deed. He's trying to call out a jerk, and instead, this is what happens.
Answer me, you played this guy who nominated you for jerk.
Hello?
What are you doing? Hang up.
Calling me?
I was on the phone.
Well, I thought I was answering
the phone. I'm calling the Adam Carolla Show right now. So hang up. Hang up. Mom.
Yeah.
Poor fella. His mother answers the phone. Mom, for picking up the phone. Jerk! Yes, Carolla.
We did a Crank Yankers once where I was calling, or Jimmy, or I can't remember how it was, calling a porn store, wanting to talk about vibrators and stuff. And my mom picked up the phone on the other line, and I convinced the guy I was calling a restaurant and ordering a pizza. And the next thing you know, this guy's reading off a menu for mom. That was the funniest thing. So he'd hang up, and I'd say, "Ma, hang up." So she hangs up, and I say, "Hey, buddy, thanks for playing along. You know, I'm living at home. I'm in my 30s. Things aren't going well. My mom's really nosy. Thanks for playing along. I appreciate it." And then we'd have her pick up again. "Hello, as long as you're ordering a pizza, I'd like a salad. What kind of salads do you have?" The guy's standing in front of a showcase, you know, display case of dildos, and he's like, Cobb salad? And what else? We got a romaine salad." The guy started making up pizza toppings and salads.
Boy,
what
man.
A mensch. Yes.
Yes.
Sorry, right. David. Sorry for
now,
stealing your thunder.
No. I must now jump beyond all the pedestrian jerks and jump straight to the creep of the week.
Oh, no.
Creep of the week, of the week. He or she is the creep of I need to really spend some special quality time with Miss Sienna Miller. Now, you may know her. She's a very foxy blonde broad.
Mm-hmm.
She's shown up in a couple of terrible pictures. First of all, she is shooting a picture now in the city of Pittsburgh, PA. That's where I come from.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I was born and raised.
Mm-hmm.
So I bristle at the mention of any, you know, negativity about the city.
You know, Southland local, then you say you're from
from
Pittsburgh,
southwestern PA.
You know, it's funny, you know somebody for 6 years, 7 years now, David, but you learn something new every day.
You'd mention it once in a while.
Yeah.
Well, listen, let me tell you something. She mentioned Pittsburgh. She's there, And apparently she doesn't like it very much. She said
heard
she'd
that,
rather
yeah.
be in New York. She likes it better there. Let me tell you something. She called Pittsburgh S-H-I-T-sburg. And I didn't appreciate that. And it wasn't lost on me. What was that?
I don't know if you can spell out the whole thing.
Oh, you can't? What's done is done. FCC jerks. All right, now. I wasn't the only one who caught this nonsense out of Sienna Miller.
I got you to call it M-F-ersburg. David had to spell that entire thing out.
C-wordsburg.
All right. Here is, listen to, this is the most calls on a subject the jerk hotline's ever received. Just
really?
Take a little sample.
Three and a half.
Hey, this is for Dave Gomichek. You want a jerk for your hotline? Try Sienna Miller.
Sienna Miller.
She called Pittsburgh. Sienna Miller.
Sienna Miller.
Did you hear about this Sienna Miller actress?
I'd like to nominate Sienna Miller. Sienna Miller, you're a jerk. Jerk. Jerk.
What a jerk.
Pittsburgh's no good, is it? Are you talking about the city that's been named America's most livable by The Economist just last year and by Rand McNally in 1984? Are we talking about the city?
84.
That's right. Are we talking about the city that's produced the cradle of quarterbacks, Hall of Famers named Dan Marino, Joe Montana, Johnny Unitas, and Joe Namath? People like Andy Warhol, Sharon Stone, Gene Kelly, Michael Keaton, a.k.a. Billy Blaze Jowski, Mr. Rogers, two winners from Survivor,
wow.
Agent 99 from Get Smart, Mrs. Partridge. Are we talking about the same place where polio was cured by Jonas Salk? The place where organ transplantation was developed? The home of the world's first ever radio station. The place where the Ferris wheel creator comes from. The Zippo lighter. The place upon which our nation was built, forged in steel.
Wow.
In granite. Oh, yeah, no, maybe you were too busy making Alfie in Casanova to realize that. Oh, but guess what? Miss Sienna Miller didn't leave it alone with just Pittsburgh. Here she is on another place in America, a place called Louisiana.
So, are you enjoying your stay in Louisiana?
I am. I'm loving it, actually. It's not the most eventful place where we are.
But I mean, that Louisiana was hit pretty hard by the storms we had recently.
Yeah, we were going to be in New Orleans, but now we're further north.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually doubling for New York, funnily enough. I don't quite know how we've managed that. But,
All right, so Pittsburgh's no good, and neither is poor hurricane-ravaged Louisiana.
Mm.
Oh, Missy, I might just throw her in to the creep hall of shame, along with Barry Bonds and
I thought you needed three strikes.
You do, but this is an outrage. I'm going to meditate on it. I'll get back to you on that in the meantime. But for now, Sienna Miller, you are the creep of the week. Quickly, I would like to give out a quick get-out-of-jerk-free card to Mr. Jude Law, who had the good sense to cheat on her by banging the nanny.
Nice. Oh, that's
congratulations.
What it sounds like.
The Jerk List with Dave Damashek. Until next time, don't be a jerk.
Powerful stuff.
Wow.
Cathartic.
She's a creep.
I think Dave has been sitting on a lot of feelings over the past few weeks.
I'm unable to control the pitch or volume of my voice.
Feel like we felt some of them come out right there. Boy.
Yeah. I want to make one thing clear. Hmm. I would still have sex on Sienna.
I understand.
Okay.
Violent sex now. Jerry?
Yes.
This is Jerry. Oh, what the hell did I do with your card? Yes. Katzenmacher, yes?
That's it. You bet.
Signal specialist.
Traffic signal specialist. You
Boy.
Bet. Minnesota Department of Transportation. Or MnDOT.
Be having to beat off the tail with that kind of title. When the hot blondes see that at the singles bar on the card,
they must
go nuts.
Green light.
Yep, department. So green light to orgasm, baby. So, Jerry, and the reason I was interested in your story is I have been railing for many years here in Southern California about these red light arrows that have been popping up. Now, please, I want people to understand, I don't mind the red light arrow turning red when the signal is red. You should not be turning when your signal's red. When the signal is green, however, and the arrow goes from green to red, That's what I want to eliminate. I want to eliminate the part where I am sitting there at an intersection with a green light and no traffic coming, but I cannot turn because the arrow turned red inexplicably. Now, I understand why it turns green. It turns green to alleviate traffic. There's a line of cars. Only two are going per cycle. So we'll have it go green and we'll have 10 cars go. But then why turn red? And why go through that extra time and expense to hold more cars back? Now, you figured that out, right, Jerry?
Well, I hope I have. Actually, the Federal Highway Administration has kind of figured it out, and we're taking their guidance on this. What we have is a flashing yellow arrow, and I guess what I got to do is I kind of explain the difference between a protected turn and a protected permissive turn.
Please.
Okay, no, a protected permissive turn is green, yellow ball, yellow arrow, green arrow. It's probably real common. You see it throughout the whole United States, and it's probably what you have out there.
This is when the chicks start cooing.
They like that, right? They can go. They can
slow
go
down, Big Daddy.
Right, no.
Yeah.
The other one is protected only. That's a red, yellow, green arrow.
Stop.
Is this a 900 number?
It is.
This is making them hot.
Okay.
So, your wife's one lucky lady, Jerry. But, yeah, so the difference between an arrow that is there for your protection and one is there for traffic alleviation?
Right. Now, under certain conditions, like we have guidelines. MnDOT has guidelines when we use a protected-only arrow. Okay, usually when the speeds are high or the volumes are high then.
I understand.
Okay.
There's certain arrows that are on the top of hills that are blind. You can't see the car coming over the hill, so they don't want you turning in front of oncoming traffic. But
right.
Then there are others that are in... I used to work at Westwood One, or as I like to call it, Westwood None, because the place is a goddamn dump. But I used to work over there in Culver City. Culver City had Washington Boulevard or Venice Boulevard. Venice Boulevard is so long and so straight, you can see the curvature of the earth in the horizon. And I would be leaving the studio at midnight, sitting at a red arrow, waiting to be carjacked or T-boned by a drunk driver. And there's absolutely no cars coming. It's at night. I can see headlights, and I can't even see headlights for 3 miles down Venice Boulevard. So I started turning. I started just turning, and I've been doing it for now about 6-7 years. It is liberating. I pray that everybody, again, the pusses not need apply. But the folks who have spines, male or female, please join me in my quest against the man. Jerry, now how say you? Do you think I could beat a ticket if I got a ticket for doing this?
Boy, I don't know. It'd be tough. But we got a solution for that here now that we're just working on, the flashing yellow arrow.
Right. Okay, now, why don't we have that out here?
Boy, I don't know. You'd have to talk to your agencies out there, probably Caltrans, and it is something fairly new, so hopefully they're on top of it.
Why is this a new idea? I feel like a time traveler who's come from a different time and in the future to come back to be tortured by retarded people.
It takes a long time to change the traffic system.
But what retard genius decided it should turn red in the first place? Why are we switching over at, I'm sure, millions of dollars per intersection now, or at least hundreds of thousands of dollars per few intersections? Why are we having to switch over to what we should have had in the first goddamn place?
Well, maybe, yeah, that's a good question.
We
heard you yelling, and we're working on it here.
I feel like Southern California and Los Angeles especially is either... The folks, the planners, whoever they are, the folks that work on the infrastructure, the city planners, the folks that are in charge of filling potholes or working at the DMV or working at the Department of Building and Safety or whatever, are somewhere between animals and retarded. Like, I'm not even sure. I think I'm going to walk into an office and talk to the guy's head of city traffic and planning and actually see like a man goat standing there, like a centaur or something. Half man, half goat. Just chewing cud.
Yeah,
with his shirt off,
yell, don't you?
Yeah, something from something. You know, someone to hang around with Hercules up on Mount Olympus.
You bet.
I gotta say, and what will it take to get guys like you out here to run our horrible city? Because we live in Los Angeles.
Hey, a blonde, maybe.
Oh, really?
Oh.
No. T, get out the peroxide and lube up.
I will do that for you.
We live in a place where all we complain about is the traffic. We're obsessed with traffic. There's traffic reports every 8 seconds on every radio station, except for the one here in Los Angeles that I'm on, because I've done away with this nonsense. Who gives a crap? It's traffic-y out there. But all there is traffic. All we do is talk about congestion. All we do is talk about lost productivity and how long it takes to get everywhere. Yet, here's our solution. Big billboards that read click it or ticket.
Yeah.
Big billboards reminding people to buckle their seatbelt when, I'm no automotive historian, but since 1973, there's been a red buzzer in your car that goes off that tells you to put on your stupid seatbelt. Do we need to spend millions of dollars in electronic signs telling you to do what a loud red buzzer in your car tells you to do every time you climb into your car? This is our solution? I swear to effing Christ, it drives me nuts. We've been trying to get city people to come on this show for 9 months. The first day I showed up here, I said, I want to get the guys in charge. We've been trying for 9 months. We can't. The reason we can't is because they would be destroyed if they had to defend their policy, because obviously they have no policy other than slow down. Click it or ticket. The other thing they've done to help alleviate the traffic is put cameras up at every intersection. So this is our two big solutions out here in Southern California. We'll put a bunch of cameras that'll take pictures of you. That way you can get your ticket in the mail. Well, we'll save time. Normally, you have to have some chicken-ass cop pull you aside and write you a ticket. No longer anymore. We've eliminated the middleman. You can go home. Your ticket will be waiting for you when you get home. These are the things we've decided. This is how we do it. I got to tell you, we have these freeway signs, multi-million-dollar freeway signs that never say anything other than report drunk driving. And I'm not going to rat out a friend that's been boozing.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to do that.
Could be me next time. Number two, click it or ticket. Or number three, every once in a while, some guy decides he's going to be reunited with his 9-year-old he hasn't seen since he moved to Florida. So he packs her in the back of the Celica, and he starts heading for San Diego. And then we get the Amber Alert, and that slows everyone down because everyone then becomes deputized at this point. That's what we do. I round up a posse of SUVs and we spread out. I can't stand it. It's driving me insane. What did it do? How much did it cost? And how difficult is it to do this per intersection?
Not very difficult. Minimal cost. As long as your intersection has the wires and the lanes for it, real minimal cost. We've had it in for a month now. We have had no problems. Cars aren't piling up.
Well, of course they're not. And look, I got Jerry, I know you can barely say three syllables because I'm so livid about this, but let me say this. The only thing that's worse than the city folks are the sympathizers. It's like the only guys worse than the Nazis are the Nazi sympathizers. You guys that are ratting out the Jews that are hiding in the attic of the neighbor's house. You are actually worse, in my opinion. Don't ask me why. You're worse than the people they're doing. The folks that make excuses. Well, I guess those arrows are there for a reason. I think they know what they're doing. You think they know what they're doing? Obviously, they don't know what they're doing. Have you seen this city? There's graffiti everywhere. All we have here is graffiti and arrows. And then signs reminding us to put our seatbelts on. What are we all driving around the car? What's his name? Drove in the Flubber movies or something? Really? Is there, have you seen it all? Is there automobile on the road that passes under the super multi-dollar sign that says click it or ticket that does not have a seatbelt and a light that goes off in it that tells you to put the goddamn seatbelt on? I can't believe I'm telling people this. We will decide to turn when it's safe. Just like we will decide when to apply the brake and when to apply the accelerator. If we can't figure that out, we're lost as a society. We will stop at the intersection. We will see if there's oncoming traffic. If there's no oncoming traffic, we will turn left, just like we turned at the intersection before the one you put the stupid arrow up in. Oh, Jerry.
That's right. It will allow you to turn. We heard people like you yelling, and we listened.
Oh, well, here, there's nobody to yell at. It's just one huge bureaucracy, and we got geniuses like Via Ragosa's over there in China. I have no idea what he's doing over there. It's unclear if he knows what he's doing over there. Meanwhile, the city's crumbling, and he's off eating dumplings and pot stickers. That's right. I can't stand this place. I'm moving up to Minnesota.
Hey,
we're moving the show.
It is snowing up here right now. So
I don't care.
We're going to
heat up the cider. Warm up the mucklucks. We're cuddling, Jerry.
Cuddle up, yep.
I love the cut of your jib. Somebody who does something for a change. Somebody actually sees a problem and addresses it. And I got to say, everybody. I've said this many times. Thank you very much, Jerry.
Hey, you bet, Adam.
I know you have important business to do there. Change lights, change lives, change society. I'm begging. I'm pleading. I'm down on my knees. I'm sitting on my fat ass, but figuratively down on my knees, begging you to join me in this quest. Please ignore these arrows. Please turn through these. I've been doing it. No repercussions. No accidents. No tickets. Now, many years. Brian, I've been yelling about this since Loveline. Have I not?
In fact, yes. I actually turn left at a red light arrow every day.
Really?
On the way to work. There's one that leads on the 405 North in Culver City.
Liberating, isn't it?
It's fantastic.
Yeah. I started doing it, too. And also, I think it's important to note that this expert has just told us that there's no increase in accidents from turning the red into a yellow.
How is it that, and again, let's not call, let's, I find these subjects, sometimes we can have more clarity about them if we get off of the topic. If we say, let's not call it traffic, let's just call it something else. There's a problem that plagues the city. It's traffic, it's congestion, it's lost work hours and productivity, it's you know, commute to work that takes 90 minutes. But let's not call it that. Let's just call it something else. Let's just call it cancer. And it is killing this city. And what are our solutions? Well, things that slow it down more. That's what we have. So we're trying to cure cancer. What I'm going to need you to do is move closer to the power pole. That's our solution. And start smoking. And if you eat any snacks with red dye number 19, start doubling down on those. That is essentially what our city planners would be doing if they were doctors. We have a medical problem here. Here's how we address it. Slow down. Click it or ticket. Rat out your buddies if they're drunk driving. And we're going to put a bunch of cameras up. We're trying to get some more cameras. It's not easy. We'll put some more cameras up. And we'll put some more red arrows up. It's a problem. Address it. Or don't do anything, actually. If they did nothing, it would be better. But they're, in fact, slowing things down. They're pussies. They're cowards. They're wrong. And they won't come on the air with me and debate me on it because they have nothing to stand on.
So Caltrans will not come on our show and debate you.
And we can get nobody. I've been trying for 9 months to get somebody in. Uh-oh, Darren's on the phone. Says he drove me in his car and I yelled at him. Darren?
Adam, how you doing?
What's happening? When did we drive?
I was the one who tried to change your mind, your opinion on L.A. limo drivers. I had some wine for you. I dropped you guys off up at your house. And the 110 was backed up, so I decided to cut through downtown. We're sitting at 6th and Fig at the Arrow, and you started on a 15-20-minute rant about the red turn arrow.
did we drive through it? I was pretty drunk from the wine you were plying me with.
Man, no, we had to sit. We had to sit. You're like, finally, it turns great. I was like, oh, my God.
Well, everybody, think about, thank you, Darren, think about how insulting it is to be sitting in the middle of an empty city at a green light but not turning because the man said he doesn't trust you enough to do it or hasn't figured it out from a technological standpoint to know that, hey, it's 1 a.m, maybe this thing shouldn't be turning red. And you want to talk about technology? Here's how technology works. They have the technology that if your car's front bumper passes through an intersection a millisecond after the light turns red or when it's yellow or whenever it is, a strobe light will hit your car from 5 different angles. They will shoot the picture from 5 different angles. And then 5 working days later, you will receive in the mail a picture of yourself from the front, a picture of the back of the car, license plate displayed, front of the car, license plate displayed, and a place where you can kindly send your $300 check. You want to talk about tall orders from a technological standpoint? That's a tall order. They have technology. They use it to rape the citizens. They use it to squeeze money out of the citizens. They become retarded buffoons when it comes to anything else. When I had a guy destroy my car, and that's another story, and he had to pay the city, and they had to collect the money. He couldn't pay me the $5,000 he owed me for destroying my automobile. He had to make installment plans, and it would go through the city, and he would pay them $150 a month, and I would collect it from the city. And when I said to the city, hey, a year and a half into it, how much is this guy paid in, and how much does he have left? They said, we have no way of calculating that. I said, why not? We just don't do it. We can't. We don't have the... You don't have what? You mean you're not getting paid? And then what do I do? Let you wet your beak a little? cut you in, get you a little in on the vig. So I'll give you 10%, then maybe you can keep track of this stuff for me. Of course, they want your money. They want your money, and that's fine. That's how it works. We got to keep the roads paved. But at a certain point, it becomes too much. It becomes extortion.
In your world, maybe they could start taking the pictures, using those cameras to take pictures who don't turn against the left arrow and charge them $300.
Yeah, puss fine.
I'll give you a puss fine. I like that. Be a good name for a bond secretary. Shirley Puss Fine. Miss Puss Fine, come into my office, please. Shaken, not stirred. I'll say this. Thank you. I know we're running late, but I'm just going insane. It's driving me nuts. Rich?
Yes, Adam.
What do you have to say for yourself?
Oh my God, Ventura County in Thousand Oaks. I live in Thousand Oaks, and they got these no turn on red arrow signs that no doubt cost a fortune to put the sign up, and then of course the red arrow while your traffic is flowing, and it's totally, it's ridiculous because you're just sitting there, and man, it's ridiculous. They're popping up all over the place.
Yeah, they're, I feel like we're slowing things down instead of speeding things up, and you want to talk about safety, everything's in the name of safety, and all the pussies don't want to argue against it. Hey, this is going to make it safer for our kids, safer for our schools, safer for our community, safer. Just make a helmet law for cars then. You got to wear a helmet when you drive your car. You want to go safe? Put me in a fire suit. Put me in a Nomex suit. Wet it down. And I'll put a full-face safety helmet on before I climb in the car. I mean, we can just keep going. I can take a string of used tires and go around my car with it like it's a tugboat. When do you want to stop with the safety? I'm going to say one more thing, and this probably drives me nuttier than anything else in society. It is legal to turn right on a red in Southern California. It is legal to do that. It's not legal in many of the places that the people who live here are from originally. Some people are from back east. It's not legal in New York City. It's not legal in certain parts of the country that you're from, but it is legal here. Now, imagine how it would speed things up if everyone knew this and, in fact, turned right on a red. Will they ever put that up on the sign? No. Would they like to inform people of something that is legal that they're not aware of, that they're currently not doing, that might alleviate traffic 10 or 15%? No. Not interested. They are interested in more arrows and more cameras. So that's all you need to know. They extort. They take your money, and I say, as a taxpayer, F them. I'm not scared of the cops. I'm not scared of the meter maids. I'm certainly not scared of the pussies that get paid $40,000 a year to do nothing somewhere in City Hall. I say we stand up. I say we turn, and we all do it, and we flood the system. And if you get a ticket, then we fight it. And we all fight it together, and we clog the system, and we cut them off. We strangle the blood out of this monster's head. Now, who's with me? Thank you. And look, you owe it to talk about this. Anyone who's listening, anyone who has people at work that can speak to at work, if anyone's listening has another radio show, a TV program, if you talk to young kids, if you go to senior homes and read books, to old folks, preach the gospel about this. I want a city where everyone ignores these retarded laws. Stand up with me, please, people. All right.
Good times.
Well, that's it. Let's see, we got our dominatrix coming in. Huh. We got Mr. Brightside, too, but I don't know. I feel like I'm talked out. Where's our dominatrix?
She's here.
Oh, she is?
She ran outside to get something, but she's here.
Our sex slave is here, too.
Oh, she brought her slave, too?
Yeah, her slave's here.
Now, what is there? Is the circus in town? Is the sex circus in town? How does that work?
Sexpo is in town this weekend. That's correct.
Sexpo. Don't you have to put the date behind whatever you say? Expo?
Oh,
don't you have to put the number behind it? And who decided that? We confused. Sexpo, what, 97? No.
This
83?
One.
Huh? Which Sexpo? The one from, 2021? What year? Sexpo what? Come on, put the number. I'm not going to know. Do we have to put the number behind it? All right, we'll take a break. We'll talk to our dominatrix and her submissive partner after this.
In a world controlled by bureaucrats,
we could speed this town up so much. It'd be easy. Are the people in power interested? No. We're going to have to take it back.
One man will make an illegal left.
I just turned, and I've been doing it for years now.
And stand up
for what's right.
Are we lemmings? Do you need the man to tell you everything?
And millions
drive through every goddamn left turn arrow.
We'll stand up with him.
I would like everyone in the city to do it, and then we'll clog the system.
From the producers of Rudy and the Shawshank Redemption,
I command everyone within the sound of my voice to ignore those and do the same thing.
Adam Carolla in.
We have logic. We can think. Let's take this one back.
Broken Arrows.
Civil disobedience.
This film is not yet a film.
Inspiring. Well, let's change gears here. Mistress Melissa is here with Katie. Mistress Melissa is a dominatrix. Katie is her submissive. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Now, is Katie allowed to speak freely?
Yes, she is. For today, she is.
Oh, I see.
Mm.
Mm. Give her a furlough. Now, how does this work if one... And who pays who? I mean, who is on the receiving end of the cash if, in fact, there is cash exchanged?
There's no cash exchange between Katie and I. She's my personal slave.
God, I gotta get one of those, you know? Everyone's like, please, what kind of life is that? Well, it's a good life if you're Mistress Adam. Not sure if I still keep the mistress moniker.
It'd be master.
Master.
It would be master.
Better. And I get the, you know, and it's like she does your bidding, right? She's got to do whatever you tell her to do?
Yes, she does.
And how about, you know, not just in the bedroom, but outside of the bedroom?
Outside of the bedroom. So she's my collared slave 24/7.
So if you're eating breakfast, you can get a warm up from her?
Yep.
As long as there's enough leash for her to get to the coffee pot?
Exactly.
Now, do you guys live together?
No, we don't.
Oh, you don't?
No, we don't.
And how long have you been together?
We've been together for, what, 2 months?
2 months.
2 months. And Katie, what's in it for you being the submissive?
Words really can't describe what she gives me. It's mental and physical stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
That's just awesome.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a safe word when you guys are getting into the rough trade?
She can tell by the look in my eyes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm with that, too. Because, you know, my deal is, when I'm going to get, you know, duct tape put over my mouth and the cat of nine tails across my ass, I don't need a safe word. You'll know. I'll punch you in the face. My safe word will be, you're screaming, why did you punch me in the face? That's how we'll know. Okay? When blood is streaming from your orbital socket and you're screaming, why? That'll be our safe word. You're screaming over and over, yelling why and rolling around. I never understand the safe word. Why do you need the safe word? Couldn't you get the I'm serious or like, you know, it's like, because you go from like, oh yeah, I've been a bait. Knock it off! Isn't that your safe word?
No.
Isn't serious voice your safe word, whatever comes out of your mouth?
No, usually the safe word is mercy.
Oh, mercy.
Ah, mercy.
I like that, but what if you're Jerry Lee Lewis?
That is mercy.
He's just yelling mercy all the time. All right. Where was I? So, the Sexpo 06 coming into town, yes?
Oh, yes.
Where's that going to be?
The location is still to be announced.
Mm-hmm.
It's this
weekend?
We don't
know. It's this weekend? We don't know where it's going
to
be?
It's this weekend, yes. They're supposed to email me with the location.
You don't know. Well, Bruss could find that out. How about if we can't find a location, we do it in Dave's pants?
That would be great.
Location. And then you can put that sign on your sack that says location of Sexpo since.
The problem is that Dave's wearing a skirt today.
That is true. We were just standing at the urinal together, and he was explaining to me that he could get used to it very quickly.
I've never felt so free.
Sounds like my kind of guy.
So they have, there's all sorts of forms of what you do, right?
Oh, most definitely.
I mean, there's the mummification.
Ooh, mm-hmm. What's that? Mummification, it entails taking like any type of wrap, like industrial size saran wrap, and like wrapping somebody to like a table or just like suspending them and wrapping them all the way around so they're like mummified.
Mm-hmm. And is obviously you don't do it over their face or their head, right?
Well, sometimes, but I might give him a little air hole.
But then how do you have sex then? Isn't the ultimate goal with all this business to wind up between the sheets?
Not necessarily. It's all psychosomatic stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
Really? So just so Katie, you getting whipped around by Mistress Melissa is arousing enough. You don't actually have to have sex. Finish anyway.
It's well. I'll be honest. I have many orgasms during Mistress Melissa doing her bidding to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very stimulating. I mean, you can sit in there being flogged and have an orgasm.
Well, what, there's other forms like the, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's infantilism.
Infantilism.
When you become a kid, right? When
yes.
you become a baby.
Yes.
Put a diaper on.
Put a diaper on him, change him just like a baby, make him say their ABCs.
Oh.
That's
and
odd.
When you change the diaper, it's soiled?
Oh, I make them soil themselves.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Number two, too, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I could perform with you yelling at me. You know what I mean? Mate. And then they say to you, like, kid, do they do kitty talk? Like
oh,
mommy?
Yeah.
I was a bad boy. I made a kiki.
Yeah.
And then you change the diaper?
Uh-huh.
And, like, how much would it cost if I was a fella and wanted to use your services for a couple hours?
For a couple hours? Well, I make $170 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So, double that.
And then, do you have regular customers? Do you have guys that you see
mm-hmm.
on a
yes,
regular basis?
Yes, I do.
And have been seeing for a number of years?
Yes.
Now, I know you're going to tell me these guys come from all walks of life, but you don't have any brothers, no Mexicans, pretty much white guys, right?
No, I have brothers, I have Mexicans, I've got
really?
All of them. Oh, yeah.
But no blue-collar types, all white-collar types, yes?
No, I have blue-collar types.
You have guys that are pushing a mop around for $11 an hour the whole day, and then they give you $170, which is 2 days, 3 days' pay after taxes, to crap themselves?
I have a high school janitor that actually requests that kind of play.
Wow.
Now, I know you can't say what high school it's at, but
no,
parents just assume he's the janitor to your kid's high school. So the happy guy pushes the mop. The big thing of keys is showing up at your place.
Oh, yeah.
And pushing something else.
Yep.
I cannot stop fornicating with a mop handle. Come on. Look, what goes on in those after-show meetings, Brian? It's not open. All right. I think we're going to talk to your mom, Mistress Melissa. Does she know what you're up to?
Yes, she does.
She's cool with it?
Yes, she is.
And Katie, what would set you up for a life as a submissive? Were you beaten up by your stepdad? What went on in your past that makes you enjoy this as an adult?
Parents don't spank your children. Eventually, they learn to like it.
Oh.
Corporal punishment at home.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What happened?
The paddle.
Paddle? Really? Dad? Dad
no,
did the paddle?
Mom.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, here's the thing with people when they're young. They tend to sexualize whatever happened to them later on. God knows what kind of, you know, people sit around and they go, I'm an atheist. And they go, well, here's how I know there's a God. Who could have created all of this? That's their argument, their retarded argument. I listen to it. But then I say, well, what kind of God would put wiring in a little girl's head that her drunken stepdad would beat the F out of her when she was 3? And then later, when she was 22, that's how she orgasmed.
God's
what kind
plan.
Of God would do that?
God's plan.
The good. That's his
God's plan.
That's his plan to F up your wiring
well,
that way?
It's interesting because Katie's mom was beating her and her mistress is female.
Mmm. I'd like to be a male master. Yeah, I'm gonna work that one out. Do they have them?
Yes, they do.
Let's see if I can get a gig over there. Squeezing those leather pants.
How would I know that?
My mom. I promise she didn't beat me up. All right, we need to take a little break. Melissa is here. She's a dominatrix. Katie is here. She's a submissive. We got the Sexpo 06 in town, although we're not sure where exactly. We'll figure that out. We'll talk to Melissa's mom, figure out how she got into this, and then more of the fascinating world of dominatrixes and submissives after this.
Here's what's coming up tomorrow morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
Yo, 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 check it. We got David Arquette. Hey, is he the one that became a chick? In the studio, Hootie and the Blowfish. Hey, they're hot. Sweet, the kids like them. And former New Jersey governor came out of the closet, James McGreevy. Hey, that's a hot booking. And by hot, I mean I'm not gay. Hey, boobies. We'll be giving away more tickets to the Playboy Mansion party. Silver, out. I'm not gay.
Thanks, Jack. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Wow. Who thinks thou protest too much? Mistress Melissa is in studio. Also, her submissive Katie as well. Welcome back, ladies.
Thank you.
Big Sexpo 06 coming up this Saturday. Want to know more about the lifestyle. Now, I talked to a mistress once who said they do a whole sort of equestrian theme thing mm-hmm. where they'd put you in a bridle and they'd have you drag them around in carts.
Yes.
How's that one go?
It goes pretty fun, actually.
You must feel like a genius when you're just staring at some guy's pink ass while he's dragging you around in a circle on some AstroTurf in the basement, and he's paying you $175 an hour for the privilege?
Yes, actually, I do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about smart. Look, you can be a lawyer and make $150, $170 an hour, but you're doing paperwork. You know what I mean? You're being dragged around in a cart. It's like the guy in front of you lost a bet. Your whole life, really, is like somebody just lost a bet.
Pretty much.
So you're being pulled in a cart. The guy's crapping in his diaper. Or you're beating the crap out of your old lady with a cat of nine tails. Either way, it's the things you get to do when you win. What a life. I want to talk to the woman that produced this genius. Anita?
Yeah?
Your mistress, Melissa's mom?
Yeah.
Nice job. I don't know if there's Dominatrix College or anything. Is there?
No.
No. Well, they have clown school. Why can't they have that? You know, they got bartending and clown school. They can have any school, in my estimation. But there's no college. You don't have a degree in this.
No, I don't.
You graduated high school?
Yes, I did.
Did you go to college?
Yes, I did.
Did you graduate?
No.
So a non-college grad, and you're making $170 an hour.
Yep.
It's a good gig. Anita, are you proud or are you ashamed?
The way she explained it to me, I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm. She didn't tell you the part about people making the poopy in the diaper, did she?
Yeah, she did.
That's nice. Thanksgiving or is it another visit?
Yom Kippur.
So, Anita, what went wrong? How did you... What do you figure?
I don't know.
Well, nature or nurture, baby, it all comes back to you. Now, what happened? Did you smack her around a little bit when she was young?
No, because I couldn't spank her. She liked it, so.
Really? Early on, you knew you were into this, yes?
Oh, yes.
Well, I knew there was something wrong when I came home from work and the 3-year-old was duct taped to the hall wall.
No.
Oh, yes.
You came home and she duct taped herself to the wall?
No, I duct taped my younger brother.
Oh.
It was mummification. It was a form of restraint.
Now, how old were you at the time?
I was 13.
So you knew this was going to be your path from a very early age?
Oh, yes.
Wow. And Anita?
Yeah?
Are you married?
No.
Shocking. Where's Dad? Killed himself when he was pulling the kid off the wall, or?
He's in California somewhere.
Somewhere, but you don't know where he is.
No.
Does he owe you any money or anything?
No.
No. And Anita, what do you do for a living?
I'm retired.
What did you do?
Me? I was a lifeguard, a swimming teacher, and I worked in some construction.
Butch. She's a retired lifeguard, and she knows the difference between a waffle end and a Klein of a hammer. She's a little bit old. She's a chain smoker. She pulled the duct tape off your wallets and opened them up for Anita, everybody. Jade, stay fresh. All right. Sorry, I just have to do that when the music piles in. So, Anita, so now you're retired. Do you really have to retire from sitting by a pool looking at people? Is there any reason? I feel you can do that a few weeks after you die.
It was a lot more than that.
Oh, okay. Sorry for being demeaning. So now, as far as Melissa goes, did the dad beat on her? What got her going? I have kids. I got a boy.
No.
I got a boy and a girl. And if one of them's a dominatrix and the other is a submissive, I will kill myself. I have to be honest with you. I'm looking to avoid this, and I want to know how. I want to learn from your mistakes, Anita.
I have no idea.
She didn't make any.
It's just in you. Yes?
Yeah.
Nothing. You didn't tie her down to her crib or put a gimp ball in her mouth when she was crying or anything?
No.
That would have been kind of cool.
All right. You're calling from Tennessee?
Yeah.
Okay. What's on the slate for today? What are we doing today?
I'm at my boyfriend's house.
That's enough. I envy you already. I get jealous of people when you talk to them at 9 in the morning. You go, what are you doing today? And they go, well, why? You want to do something? That's my ultimate. That's where I want to be. I want to be at that point in life when I just have no idea what I'm doing for the rest of the day. That's freedom, baby. I like that.
Sounds like she's already smoked 3 cartons of smokes this morning.
Chain smoker, Mom? Little bit? Yes, mistress?
Yes, she is.
Maybe the secondhand smoke did something to your brain.
No. I'm a smoker, too.
Maybe the first-hand smoke combined with the second-hand smoke, which makes it third-hand smoke. I'm no scientist, but I know my third-hand smoke. Maybe something happened. Maybe was she
it's
blowing
like smoking cubed?
Yes. Was she blowing cigarette smoke in your crib when you were a kid?
No.
I'm going to continue investigating this, but we're out of time. So we'll see you at the Sexpo this weekend.
Yes, Saturday.
Saturday, and $170 an hour. What if I bought a block of 10 hours? Would you give me a break?
Possibly.
Give me like $1,500, something like that.
Yeah.
And
just for you.
And do we get to have sex at a certain point?
No, we don't.
Ah.
Does, geez, I had the wind taken right out of my sail. Do the guys pleasure themselves?
Yes, they're allowed to pleasure themselves. I don't help them.
But in your presence?
Yes.
Is that illegal?
No.
It's not.
No, it's not.
Because
the Chateau has a world, they're world famous because they have a sexual encounter license.
Oh, really?
Yes, they do.
I gotta pull one of those things. Mm-hmm. That would be nice. You know, there's two things, and I'm gonna add that to my list. I would like to have my hands registered, and I'd like a sexual encounter license. Pull the ladies aside. How about a handy right here on the corner? Are you kidding? It's okay, huh, honey? Read the badge. Now get busy. It's law.
Some of the clients at the Chateau, you would think that they'd have that already. But they
really?
Don't. Oh, yeah.
Where is the Chateau?
The Chateau is in North Hollywood. It's at 7403 Fulton Avenue.
Oh, my hometown. Yeah. So I got to get out there. You have have discounts for locals? Like it's cheaper to go to college out here if you live out here?
No.
Oh. All right, we'll take a little break. We'll be back with some news and some sports. T, what's coming up in the news?
Well, Barbara Streisand dropped the F-bomb in concert. I will tell you why. And also, Mel Gibson will be on Good Morning America Thursday and Friday. I have a little snippet of what he has to say about his drunken escapades in Malibu.
We'll have the news, we'll have the sports, and we'll do all that after this.
We'll be right back with more of The Adam Carolla Show.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on The Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Erie, Pennsylvania. A 27-year-old woman was drinking when an argument with her child's father turned violent. The woman began grabbing items and hitting the man with them. The woman then hit him with his own 4-week-old son, grabbing the child by the ankles and swinging him at his father's head. Definitely not a Jew!
I'm so inspired by the idea of using your kid to joust with that I'm going to turn my kids. I got twins. I'm turning into nunchucks as soon as I get home. I will tie a lamp cord around both their necks and I'll spin them around like the Shaolin master. Don't believe me? Try some of the Japanese flute.
Now I know you're serious.
I decided yesterday when you hear that Japanese flute, the person is not bluffing. I'll say, listen. I could say I'll kick your ass. You could say, hey, small fry, get out of my face. But if I said I'm going to reach into your chest cavity and pull your beating heart out, and that's the last thing you're going to see before you die. And then you heard the Japanese flute? Going to happen. Again, if I said I'm going to take a refrigerator box, I'm going to cover it with tinfoil and fly it to the moon. Then I'm going to play tea with Abe Lincoln's hat. Stovepipe hat, and then I'm coming back over the weekend so I can collect my Heisman Trophy. Oh, yes. See, before it was the ramblings of a madman. Now, Carla, did you hear what he's going to do? Flying to the moon in a refrigerator box.
And I guess he won a Heisman Trophy at some point.
And someone will go, no, are you kidding? No one can fly. Listen to the flute. Oh, my God. He's going to do it. All right, where were we? Now, we were, thank you.
I like the idea of you having a flute playing Asian guy with you everywhere you go for the rest of your life. That's going to
let
cool.
people know the difference between when I'm serious and when I'm bluffing. The
downtime.
Asian flute guy hanging around, watching me and my wife make love, seeing me on the toilet, and I was just everywhere.
I'm going to love you better than you've ever been loved in your life.
I don't hear the flute. Oh.
Oh, stop the flute. Stop the flute. I'm going to give it to you all night long, baby. This is going to be a lovemaking marathon. Forget about doubling down on the oral. I'm going to triple down. Stop the flute. All right, now. Oh, we're running late. I wanted to get the thing.
The flute keeps playing. You can't hear it over your snores, though.
I wonder if the flute guy then work into my dreams, you know, when I was having dreams about beating up Jean-Claude Van Damme. Or, hoisting the Stanley Cup over my head. If in my dream, in order to make it a little more realistic, I would hear this. All right, that's the part of the movie where you know the guy's not kidding. Where were we? T.
Yes.
The news, baby doll.
Listen, things are bad in North Korea, but time is short. So let's get right to Mel Gibson.
I would argue, when I heard Kim Jong-il talking about, you know, his nuclear devices and blowing up and all that stuff, I didn't hear any flute.
So you think he's bluffing?
What, if an Asian guy, especially, says he's going to do something and you don't hear this behind it? It's not going to happen.
There's no nukes.
The guy's Asian, for Christ's sake. The flute's playing all the time. No flute, no nuke.
Well, was Mel Gibson...
Oh, wait on, President.
Was Mel Gibson bluffing by the side of the road when we started talking about the effing Jews and sugar teats?
He's stinking effing. You think this is the booze talking? Listen to the Asian flute.
Okay, well, here he is talking to Diane Sawyer. There's no Asian flute behind him, but he is sorry.
It was just the stupid ramblings of a drunkard. And what I need to do to heal myself and to be assuring and allay the fears of others and to heal them if they have any heart wounds.
Not buying it, even with the Asian flute.
Still not buying it?
This is the last thing I want to be, is that kind of monster.
Here's the problem. These guys go too far in the other direction. You getting loaded and telling some off-color jokes to folks you're almost sure aren't of the persuasion you're talking about. Not too many Jewish cops out there, at least not the beat cops. Now, I think this guy coincidentally
was, which is
bad times. You find the one Jew sheriff in all of Malibu County. But anyway, the point is you being drunk and telling some off-color racial stuff does not make you a monster. If that's true, then maybe we're all monsters. When you call yourself a monster, then you're overcompensating in the other direction, which makes me suspicious now. If you just say, hey, man, I was loaded, I put my foot in my mouth, but, let those who are living in glass houses or those who are without sin cast the first stone. We've all been blotto and put our foot in our mouth before. Hey, I'm sorry, I got a lot of Jewish buddies. They know how I feel about it. Let go, but I'm a monster? He's protesting too much.
I like the idea that you can be yourself on the road.
Well, Barbara Streisand was in the news. You may have heard this. On Monday night, she was giving a concert in Madison Square Garden, and she has a bit where she has a George Bush impersonator on tour with her. They do a little sketch, and what happened is a guy in the audience was pissed off, and so he started heckling her. She yelled, come on, be polite, and the guy wouldn't stop. So she said, not unlike Mel, shut the F up. Shut up if you can't take a joke. The guy stopped, and thankfully the concert was able to continue. And I think she actually offered to refund the gentleman's money. Now, in radio news.
The idea that you're going to a concert and she's doing preachy, politically oriented skits in the middle, just make with the singing, would you, Babs?
Yes, although it would be predictable going to a Barbara Streisand concert because she's a liberal and she's been very public about her views, so you shouldn't be surprised that she says something anti-Bush, even if it's in comedy.
Do it in form of a song. Sing Blowing in the Wind and change a name to, work Bush's name in there or something. You know,
there
that's what protest songs are for, sweetie.
There you go. In radio news, this just in, there was a story from Yahoo Finance. This is a quote, a massive surge in popularity online for Adam Carolla. It turns out that you are now the second most searched, most Googled radio personality in the world. Second most. And you know who you knocked off? Rush Limbaugh. He used to be the second most, and now it's you.
Hold on. I don't hear any Asian flute. Are you making this up?
It's right on Yahoo Finance. Number one, as you can imagine.
Oh, my God. It's true.
It's true.
She's not bluffing.
Yes. They said that there was a massive surge in popularity online in people trying to Google you. Hmm. So Adam Carolla, the second most Googled radio personality, taking Rush Limbaugh out of the top number two spot.
Wow. What the hell?
I know, it's
barely
pretty cool.
Work my computer.
Well, a lot of people are Googling you.
God love you. And yes. Look, I want to give some love to the AdamCarolla.com folks. I know there's a lot of people that listen to the show. We met a few when we were in New York who were out in Chicago, New York, East Coast, Midwest, that kind of stuff. It doesn't translate into anything for us. Unfortunately, you guys don't have Arbitron books. We don't get any ratings from you or anything. But it warms the cockles of my heart just to know that I'm reaching you. And I got into this business to talk to people, actually to yell at people for the most part, staff included. Point is I am perpetually flattered because I know it takes a lot of work. You don't just turn on the radio. You have to download it. You have to put it into your iPod. You have to do whatever you do. The fact that you go to extra lengths to hear our show really makes me tickled pink. And I'm not lying about this. Come on, Brian. There you go. God bless you.
A heartfelt thank you to all the people Googling you. I'm Teresa Strasser. I mean it. You don't have to turn off the flute. And that is the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Tough start last night to the American League Championship Series for the homestanding Oakland Athletics. They lost to the visiting Detroit Tigers. They do it again tonight. A's lose this one. They're in trouble. They got to go for three on the road out to Motor City. Over in the National League, the NLCS gets going. It's the St. Louis Cardinals at the New York Mets, who just defeated Dodger Blue over the weekend. Knocked them out of the playoffs. Now, quickly, not sports related exactly. However, I want to revisit the jerk list if I could quickly. But it is sports related in this sense because, you know, before... You know, I consider my ongoing hunt for jerks a higher calling, but before I went pro with it, I hunted jerks just for sport.
Amateur.
So, right. Mm-hmm. So, all right, with that in mind, of course, the creep of the week was Sienna Miller for bad-mouthing the city of Pittsburgh.
A lot of folks call you the Simon Wiesenthal of jerk hunters.
Yes, yes, thank you. Now, a lot of calls on the jerk hotline for Sienna Miller, an overwhelming amount, but the best call... to the jerk hotline, an unintentional thing between a fella trying to nominate somebody and his mom. Take a listen.
Asking me to play this guy who nominated you for jerk.
Hello?
What are you doing? Hang up.
Calling me?
I was on the phone.
Well, I thought I was answering
the phone. I'm calling the Adam Carolla show right now. So hang up. Hang up. Mom.
I like the fact that once people get over 75, you have to treat them like pets. Do you want something? Did you make? You go make outside, and then I'll feed you when you come back. But I won't. You don't feed. No. You won't get any oldie treats until you go make out in the yard.
Mom, yeah. Hang up.
This reminded me of a Crank Yankers call, one of my favorites from a few seasons back. This is, I think, Jimmy Kimmel doing the same thing. Jimmy is playing the guy who lives at home, this guy. And I think Sarah Silverman is playing his mom. He's calling a porn store, and here's how it goes.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good, and yourself?
Good, thanks. You have those pumps for the penis, the suction penis enlarging pumps?
Yeah, we sure do.
You do. That's great. And what's the price range on those things?
They range anywhere in price from about $30 up to $500,
$600, $700. Whoa, 500, 600, 700. Hold on a second. Hey, Mom, hang up the phone.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
I'm on the phone. Please hang
who's
up.
Who's that? Who is the voice?
It's a. Don't worry who it is. Just hang up the phone. I'm on the telephone.
Well, now I have to know.
It's a pizza place. I'm ordering a pizza, okay? Please hang up the phone.
Well, I was making dinner.
I know you're making dinner.
If you're going to get pizza, I'll have pasta. Do
okay,
have pasta
I'll
too,
order you pasta. Hang up the phone, please.
Well, I what kind?
Jesus Christ. What kind of pasta do you have?
Well, we've got lasagna.
They have lasagna. You like lasagna.
Works at a porn store.
This is what my son does. He's a patient. What kind of sauces do you have?
We have the marinara sauce and the Alfredo sauce.
They got the marinara and the Alfredo.
He's staring
okay?
at a rack of dildos while he's saying this.
Yeah, that's all we have.
That's all they have.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Later on, she picked up a phone and ordered a salad from the guy, added a salad. He started going through the different dressings, but they didn't have Thousand Island. The thing that was funny is the stuff he didn't have. We got Roquefort, and we got Zesty Italian. Do you have Thousand Island? No.
He was just trying to keep it realistic.
I guess he was. Yeah.
Talk about sport. That's a sport right there, that guy playing ball.
Yeah. I know. You owe it. You should put him up. We'll find this guy and we'll get him on the. We'll give him a get out of jerk free
nice idea.
Card. All right. We will take ourselves a break. When we come back, celebrity matchmaker Samantha Daniels. I think there was a TV show based on her life
mismatch.
And career. Mismatch or mismatch. We will talk to her. She's an attractive lady herself. I'm looking at her through the glass. She's going to set our own Teresa Strasser up, who. I wouldn't call desperate, but I would say is hungry. Very hungry.
There's a fine line.
Very fine line. So, fellas, if you want to go out with Teresa, or maybe you just want to masturbate in her living room.
Either way.
God, I love that story. Take a quick break. We'll be back to set Teresa up after this. Swinging hands.
This is the Flavor Flav, and you are listening to the Adam Carolla Show, boy.
Mm-hmm. Samantha Daniels is in studio.
Hello.
She's a matchmaker to the stars. She's going to set our own Teresa Strasser up. But first, a little celebrity news. And talk about some celebrities. Now, you won't mention the celebrities you've hooked up.
I can't do that.
You can't. But you can talk about celebrities in general.
Anyone you want.
And what's going on. And it's true that Alicia Silverstone movie, or I should say TV show, was based on your career?
Yes.
Hmm. I like her.
You know, she's terrific. She played the part really well. She was a divorce attorney who turned matchmaker. So that was me. I was a divorce attorney, and then I became a matchmaker. So.
Well, let's see. Who's single out? How about, I heard there's some trouble with Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston. I heard he was drunk and out in a bar and trying to pick up chicks. Did you hear anything about that?
Well, I think there are rumors that there's trouble in paradise over there, but I don't think anyone really knows. And I love them as a couple, so I'm really rooting for them. What do you guys think? No?
Rebound.
I don't even root for me and my wife as a couple. I got to tell you, there's nothing gayer than a guy rooting for another. I hope those kids make it. I could give a rat's ass about everyone.
Off the cuff, do you like them or you don't like them?
I like Vince Vaughn. I think he's funny and a cool guy. Jennifer Aniston, I think she thinks her poopy don't smell.
Really?
I think she's into herself too much.
I have to agree.
And I've not signed off on her. I find her to be an attractive woman, but the part where she's super hot and all guys are into her, I'm not buying into that.
Well, you're either in the Jennifer camp or the Angelina camp, and they're diametrically opposed in terms of personality and look and the whole thing. So are you in the Angelina camp?
I'd like to get in.
I bet you would.
Yes. I would pitch a tent and never leave. I would take a Boda bag, fill it with wine, and bring enough jerky for the year. And I would never leave that camp.
All right, let's hope she's not listening because that could really freak her out.
I make some s'mores in that chick's
camp. I don't
think
a lot of women are in her camp because she's a little bit of a homewrecker, maybe.
Well, I mean, all of that was a while ago. You know,
she's still a homewrecker.
No, to me too. But at the same time, I mean, you said Vince and Jennifer may be a rebound romance. They've been together over a year, so it's not a rebound romance anymore. It can't be. I mean, they've moved on to a real romance now.
I'll tell you, Tuesdays we make lanyards. And Wednesdays,
at Angelina camp?
Archery on Friday, kayaking. It goes on and on.
Juice?
And what would you be doing in the Jennifer camp? Any different activities?
I I think I would hang in her camp happily, but I would be trying to escape and get into the Angelina camp. But I would hang out in Jennifer camp. Yeah,
it'd be like a prison break.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be. You know, it'd be one of these things where after a week, I'd call my mom crying. Can you pick me up?
I don't like camp.
So Adam,
thanks for the fudge brownies, but can you pick me up? I'm getting tired of this Jennifer camp.
So hypothetically speaking, if you were single and available, are there any celebrities, single female celebrities that you'd like to?
It'd be faster to bring up the ones I didn't want to F.
Really?
It'd be a shorter
what
list.
What about that?
Yes. Yeah, so far, if you're on TV, if I was single and you're on TV, I'm India. I don't care if you're an old male newscaster.
You're very non-discriminating.
That's right. You want some? Did you want
really?
Some? You,
did
you came to
what
the right place.
What time does the show end?
Oh, it ends. Well.
There's a break coming.
All right, let's forget about my genitalia. Let's focus on Teresa Strasser's. The woman is beautiful. She's smart. She has a nationally syndicated radio show. She has a TV show on the TV Guide channel now. What can we do to set her up?
I don't know, Teresa. What kind of men do you actually like?
Oh, well, I'm very flexible, as you guys know, since you've met some of my exes.
Mm-hmm. She's gullible, too.
Yeah.
Had a guy contact her.
Yes.
Say he was a rodeo clown? What'd he say he was?
He said he was a strippergram guy.
And he came to her house and masturbated.
I thought it was a strippergram. I was wondering why he didn't dance.
Oh, my God.
Yes. She's flexible and gullible, the two things I like in a woman.
Samantha, can I be... I'll be honest.
I'd like you to be honest.
This sounds cheesy, but I'd like to be swept off my feet and fall madly in love.
So you're the typical woman. You're looking for your Prince Charming riding up on the white horse with the glass slipper.
Well, and also, there's not a lot of time. I'd like to have some kids. Mm-hmm. Play the music, Brian. This is what my
What's
uterus...
What's the baby music?
This is... My uterus sounds like this. Like, it's in a hurry. Let's go.
Oh, my God. Most women.
Not, like, in the next few years.
Right, I understand.
So somebody, you know, dependable. Mm-hmm. And maybe stable.
Mm-hmm.
And is that an L.A. guy, you think, or someplace else? Coming from somewhere else in another city?
Doesn't matter.
Do you have time to do the long distance thing,
no,
you think?
No, I gotta be, I'm up at 3:30 every day.
That All right, so then that answer would be no, he should be in L.A.,
yes.
Right? Because you have to be a little discriminating, because if your time isn't your own, then you want to date more efficiently.
My time is Adam Carolla's.
Okay, well
Thank
then,
you,
Adam, are you helping her try to meet someone?
I'm giving her 14 minutes a day and 17 minutes on the weekends to start a relationship.
That's all I've
that
got.
That was very generous of him.
Mm-hmm. Do you have somebody, do you have files full of men?
I have lots of men, probably 10,000 of them in Los Angeles alone.
Really?
And then I have another 10,000 or so in New York. So
how do you screen
you
the guys?
Say I know a lot of men.
Do you screen the guys?
I screen everybody. I mean, basically the way my process works is that if you're initially interested in signing up for my service, it's called Samantha's Table, and I have a website, samanthastable.com, and you go to the website, you fill out a registration form, you send in a photograph. Mm-hmm. Once I receive that, then I read through it, and if I think that you could be an interesting client for me, I'll meet you for a consultation. You sit down and you tell me exactly who you want to meet, and then I almost become like a headhunter, going out and finding exactly who you're looking for. Mm. Or if you're somebody who just wants to be kept in mind for one of my clients, then you can fill out the form, and then I keep you in mind.
Speaking of headhunter, Teresa does this thing with Altoids. Not to be believed. Out of this world. So I hear. And go ahead and tell the suitor she's an Altoid queen.
Really? Yes, nothing says class, grace, and dignity like that story.
Your urethra will have minty fresh breath.
Thank you so much for sharing that for all the people who are listening.
Hey, listen, I got to tell you, if I'm on the fence and I hear this Altoid thing, boom, I'm in.
But is that the kind of guy you want, Teresa? The one who's
yeah,
like
with
into
a penis.
And digging
They're
the
all
Altoid
that way.
Story? Tell
yeah,
the truth.
They're probably all that way, right, Adam?
You're asking Adam?
Look, ultimately, even the guy with the best of intentions has a penis, and there's something
right
hanging
me.
Off it that is filling with fluid every second we speak, and he would like Teresa to do the Altoid trick.
All right, so
on
how
it.
About looks? What do you like in the looks category?
Just gotta weigh more than me and maybe be taller than me. Other than that, I'm very flexible.
I think she likes a big man. I think she likes a tall man.
I like a lanky guy.
How tall are you?
I'm about 5'7", but then in heels, I'm about 5'10".
Okay, so someone that you feel confident Mm-hmm. He's standing next to you. He's taking care of you. He's your protector. You like
that? Yes, that sounds good.
We need, sorry to break up the party, ladies. We need to take a break. We'll come back and we'll sort of tie a bow on this because I feel like we can enter her into your mix and maybe you can check
definitely.
Your files. I mean, she's attractive.
I can think of many men that would be very honored to go out with Mr.
Yeah, she's an award-winning journalist.
Oh,
but
thank you.
But all the prizes, all the journalistic prizes, or prizes in the world pale to the Altoid. I got to tell you this, guys.
That trumps all.
I'll put that at the top
all.
Of her list.
Take a quick break. Be back with matchmaker Samantha Daniels after this.
Stick around because Adam's giving away a trip to Las Vegas to the Vegas Festival October 28th and 29th to see Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, The Killers, and more. Get your tickets at Vegas.com. Stick around, back with more of The Adam Carolla Show.
This is Quagmire. You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
Samantha Daniels, matchmaker to the stars. You're going to help our own star, Teresa Strasser, out.
I'm going to try to. If she will listen to my advice, I will help her get a man.
Well, I'll tell you what. I want to continue this, if you'll help us. We're out of time for today, but we should stay abreast of this. You're going to go into your Rolodex. You'll set Teresa up. Teresa will go out, report back to us. We'll have you back in, so on and so forth, okay?
So on and so forth.
Samantha Daniels, go to Samantha Daniels, or I should say SamanthasTable.com for more information. Tomorrow, David Arquette. I got a funny story about David Arquette. Also, Hootie and the Blowfish, no funny story there. Former New Jersey governor, the gay governor, the gayinator, James McGreevy. I wonder if that's what they call him.
Gavinator.
And a little more Playboy party talk. We'll get someone else to do something very stupid. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.